Are you happy? Oh, look at you. To be honest, you don't care about the Bears' first pick.
When my early morning day begins,
you're just glad it's Friday.
And the sunlight hits my face.
It's okay, be a little selfish. Look at you.
I've got the sound of WGN.
You're going to have a big weekend, aren't you?
Yeah, bye. 720 locked in place.
Come over here, sit on my lap, listener.
Now I've tuned to you. And the day's all right with me. Yeah. The voice and wake up call. I know that it can only be the Steve Cochran Show. Cochran Show.
6:10 in the morning, Mayor Rahm Emanuel with a surprise visit today, scheduled to appear after 7:30.
No, he's coming.
Well, it's a surprise to you, Dave, because he'll be dropping off his special Rahm Emanuel kale shake for you.
So I shouldn't order breakfast?
No. And I wouldn't order lunch or dinner because you're not going to want to eat.
Is he really going to bring his kale shake?
That's the word. Mayor Emanuel bringing his kale shake this morning. Mark Sapelso later plugging a story that actually aired last night that will continue to air online. It'll be repeated throughout the morning news and stuff today about toxic air on your airplane.
That was did you see that piece?
No, I've not seen it yet.
It scared the life out of me because I fly all the time. Yeah.
Ryan Dempster later on baseball, oddly enough. Dean Richards later. Attorney General Lisa Madigan on the show today on a question that Andrea brought up this week, and that is if Denny Hastert is allowed to go to jail for 15 months and not be charged on the abuse of children charges because of statute of limitations. Can we change the statute of limitations for child sex crimes?
And she might be considering, you know, taking the first steps in doing that. So there's no statute because it's such an obvious question.
It's ridiculous.
Especially with
ridiculous
sex crimes and crimes against children.
Hamp on the NFL draft. Rick Kogan on our friend Bill Zemi back to life, literally. And Adam Hogue on the draft as well. And Lou, in just a few minutes, you can get in line early if you want to be Lou's first caller. I want to start, though, with a note from a friend of mine, the mayor of Bolingbrook, Roger Clare. Roger put up signs around Bolingbrook, but specifically on 111th, or I should say 119th Street. Or no, that would be 111th. Mm-hmm. It's 111th Street. It's just, it runs by, like, Naperbrook Golf Course, if you know that area. Why is everything related to where golf courses are? Well, that's me. When Denny Hastert was sentenced this week, people in not just at Bolingbrook, but people all over started bombarding the mayor's office and the Bolingbrook city offices with emails and phone calls saying, I demand you take down that sign. Take down that sign. How can you have a sign up supporting a child molester? How dare you? The sign we're referring to is for Hassert Boulevard. Not Hastert, Hassert, H-A-S-S-E-R-T. And the mayor had signs put up that say literally Hassert Boulevard is named after the Hassert family, not Dennis Hastert, the former speaker. The reason it's a distinction that's worth pointing out is Brent Hassert and his family, as the mayor pointed out in a Facebook post, served Bolingbrook in Northern Will County for about 50 years. We're not taking down the sign honoring them. We're asking you to understand them aren't him.
I'm glad he did it.
Yeah.
I learned how to read people.
Brent Hassert, when I worked in Will County and Joliet, Brent Hassert was my very first interview.
And he did. I never knew the man, but I understand his family was very generous.
Very much so. Very involved in the community. They're wonderful people. Brent Hassert was a great state rep.
Dennis Hastert is the convicted cash structuring child molester.
Right.
Hassert, he refers to Brent Hassert and his family. Spread it socially, spread the word, and I salute Mayor Roger Clare for standing up for doing the right thing. Because the easy thing to do would be to take the sign down.
No, you have to keep the sign up.
Right. But the cop-out would be take the sign down so we don't have to take the calls and deal with the emails.
This will stop the calls.
But I tell you, the names look so similar. When you look at them really quickly, you have to kind of... You know, get your eye and get rid of the S.
But this is so much about how we live now.
Right.
Because
oh, I know.
The indication.
So ridiculous.
You get up in the morning, and too many people get up in the morning and go, what can I be offended about today?
Right.
Here's one. And then you fire off an email or a text, and, you know, filled with venom, and you realize you missed a letter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on.
Yep.
This is not the same thing. Hassert is not Hastert. Spread the word. And good for you, Roger Clare.
I'm glad he did it, too. But you know what? There is a distinction. I mean, there's Durkin. There's Durbin. Yeah. There's names that are very similar. This is not the same. I'm glad he did this.
Yeah, and it's not. Honestly, I hate to break it to you. It ain't that hard, people.
No, learn to read.
Yeah. Well, and also, think. Don't hit send as a key. Right. Think before. Come up with your really angry email or text, and then show it to somebody who's not really angry.
You know what to do?
And see what they think before you hit send.
Keep it as a draft. This is what I'll sometimes do. You write out your thoughts, keep it as a draft, go back to it the next day, and then decide if you want to send it. And more often than not, you won't send it.
You should let it know, the Fabulous Five know. The Fabulous Five are the five texters who text hate text every morning. I think it's five. It might be four. It's no more than five.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time, of the show for Lou's First Call.
It's 6:20 in the morning, and let's do this. It's time now for Lou to give away to the first caller a fabulous prize, thanks to our friends at American Weathermakers. But let me figure out where he is first. Good morning, Lou.
Hey, good morning, sir.
Got a lot going on here. It's very busy.
I know. While you figure all that out, two things.
Yeah.
Can I say that, you know, my virtual candy jar that we were trying to fill
for
Ms. Recorded Candy Days, which is this weekend, starts today. Also, Townstone Financial matching the $5,000. We made it.
Hey, fantastic.
Isn't that awesome? So a huge news. Thank you to the whole WGN listening crowd that stepped up to help reach that goal, and everybody that supports Misericordia. And today, if you have a dirty car, like what's that? What color is that Chevrolet that you drive?
Oh, the ice blue Chevy Impala.
I bet you have a change drawer in that thing that is full of change that you need to clean out.
Yeah, well, I collect a lot of change because, you know, the commute to East St. Louis to my double wide is lengthy.
But you got all those tolls, right?
I have, right now in my car, this is a rough estimate, over $214,000 in change.
Well, if you see someone in a red and white vest that wants to hand you some jelly beans,
yeah,
give them the change. There
Happy
are over 10,000 volunteers between today and tomorrow that will be out in Chicagoland supporting Misericordia. When I'm done talking to you and I'm done with TV, I'm going to go collect myself near a Starbucks on Peterson Avenue.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well done by you.
Thank you.
Let's get some texters in. Now, texters, remember, the time to text Lou a question is not 5 minutes after he hangs up and does Channel 9. The time to text Lou a question would be like right now. And first caller will win from American Weathermakers. Here's my question, though. We got a lot of spring things we want to get done, right?
Yeah.
And you got spring things you want to get done, and you have a week where it's 70 or 80 degrees.
Someday.
And then the temperature falls down to 45.
Oh, God.
So what do we need to do and what do we need to avoid because we haven't had any consistent warm weather yet?
Yeah, you know what I think now's a good time for is to do some cleanup. I have a nice pressure washer that I took outside and I cleaned off all the patio furniture, the patio itself, because really whether it's warm or cold, you can do it. I mean, other than you're miserable getting splashed by the water. But at least it's something you can get going on. And then if you make a little bit of a mess in the yard or whatever, you can just spray that off and be done with it. And then it's not so, you know, it's manageable as far as the weather goes. I mean, it is warming up. Stuff is starting to green up, but it's not at the pace that we want to see it at yet. But it's certainly time to spend a little bit of money on products for the lawn. You can go ahead and put most of everything down right now and redefining your garden beds and that kind of stuff. Doing that big spring cleanup, the minute it gets warm enough to get out there and do it, is really the time. The time is now.
All right, let's go to Jay. Jay will be your official first caller. Good morning, Jay. How are you?
Good morning, guys. What's going on?
And Jay, good news. You've won an April Air Wi-Fi thermostat allowing you to adjust the temperature for your home's air or your smartphone on your smartphone app. Brought to you by American Weathermakers, home of the 60-Minute Men, 855-955-HVAC. What do you need from Lou?
Well, thanks for that, guys. Lou, I had a question regarding heating and air. We've had people come out and check this out, and it's stumping everybody. It's a smaller house, hard to describe. But the two bedrooms on the first floor on the east side.
Your phone got funky there, dude. Three bedrooms on what side?
We have two bedrooms on our east side of our house.
Okay.
And in the wintertime, or even when it gets cooler out, those rooms are 8 to 10 degrees colder than the rest of the rooms in the house.
Okay.
We have no, you know, vents are not blocked. Is it the same, you know, newer, not newest, but newer furnace system? No drafts, but it's freezing in there in the wintertime.
Sounds like a poltergeist to me.
And you're getting heat out. You're getting heat out of those vents.
We're getting heat out of those vents just as strong. In fact, one it's of them is right below the furnace.
Right. So what I would probably do is it has something to do with a zone and the fact that you've got one thermostat, and that thermostat is being controlled by the room where it's at. And so it's not allowing enough heat to get over to that area. And what you probably have to address is have a heating and cooling person come out and see if it's possible to zone that area of the home, meaning that they'll put a separate thermostat over there with a damper that will control the furnace independently for that area alone. It's one of the most efficient ways to make the home comfortable.
Is there an easy way and a quick way to explain that? Because obviously most of us, okay, me, I think if you've got clear vents and vents are open, that you turn the furnace on and the air is being blown out uniformly.
All right. Let's imagine you have a milkshake.
Okay.
And in the milkshake, there are five straws sticking out of the milkshake.
Got it.
And right now, you turn a switch on, and when you turn a switch on, the milkshake squirts out of the straws.
Cool milkshake.
Equally, all right?
Yeah.
Okay, it's like a fountain.
Yeah.
Then, but the problem is the switch is on, you're the one that's drinking out of just one of the faucets.
Okay.
Or one of the straws. And you're
right.
Like, ooh, man, that's a lot of milkshake.
Yeah.
I'm done. But I'm on another straw, and I want more. But
right.
You're done, and you stop sucking on the straw.
Right.
Well, this is getting bad. And so now you stop, and now I don't get any more milkshake.
Because if you're not pulling from one, you're not spreading to the
because
other?
Because the on and off switch is on one of the straws, and I've got five straws that are feeding it. So what I need is another switch on a straw so I can keep the milkshake flowing.
Doesn't seem like a great system. I want you to reinvent it by tomorrow's morning show.
Okay, I'll work on that.
Here's some texters. Dear Lou, Goldilocks is texting, cold water is coming out yellow in color out of the faucet, but the hot water is clear. What's happening?
It could be an issue with a washer itself in the body of the faucet. The way to test that is to disconnect the water lines from underneath the faucet and put them into a bucket and see if the coloring is the same there. If it's not, then it's a problem with the actual valve body.
So the yellow water is bad?
It could be just a reaction from some of the cartridge that's inside the faucet.
So you don't want yellow water?
We do not, no.
847 texter says, Lou, redoing the bath. Are ultracast tubs good?
Ultracast. I think she might mean Americast, which is a plastic porcelain lined tub, very durable. American Standard makes it, and I have no problem with it.
Lou, my question is there a test that I can purchase to check for asbestos? Is that correct?
Yes, there's a home test. There is a lab component to it, though. What you'll do is if you're nervous about an area that may be asbestos, and know that you can't look at anything and say that's asbestos, it has to be tested. There's a company called ProLab that makes a test where you can take a sample, you'll put it in a Ziploc bag, you'll mail it off to them. The entire thing will cost you about $40, and you'll have results in about 2 weeks.
Lou, have you ever used a clear epoxy resin for a floor? I plan on tilting a small man cave bathroom with beer bottle caps. Oh, I'm sorry, tiling, not tilting. I plan on tiling a small man cave bathroom with beer bottle caps and pouring clear epoxy over the top. Obviously, someone not married or with a girlfriend.
Right, or plans on having one. Just make sure that you turn the bottle caps with the little tips down. I've never done that. It'd be tough on a floor because if it's a basement, there's moisture that comes up from there. So you want to make sure that you seal that concrete first so that no moisture can come up whatsoever. Is it possible? Sure. Is it durable? Not sure.
Last texter question, then Mary Sandberg has one for you. I have a problem with something digging holes under my cement porch in front of my house. We put mothballs under the porch, waited a few days, and then put out pea gravel, dirt, and mulch in front, and now a new hole was dug. Well, that's probably Uncle Bob, isn't it?
It's probably chipmunks. They're going like crazy. There you go. Where you have those holes, they're really persistent. And if you can, there's something you can buy at the hardware store called hardware cloth,
okay,
which is basically a heavy screening that you buy by the foot. And in those areas where you see that they continue to come back, you're going to scrape away some of the dirt or the mulch, and you're going to bury this, like 6 inches of it down, and then cover it up and probably screw it or attach it somehow to the area where they're going in. They can't get through that. They're still going to try. But as they persist and persist and persist, and you're good about trying to keep them out of there and make sure you maintain the integrity of that hardware cloth, they should relocate, but they might just relocate somewhere else.
So they'll get frustrated. They'll go somewhere else.
Correct, right.
Sandberg, say hi to Lou.
Hey, Lou.
Hi, Mayor.
Can I ask my question?
Oh, yeah, yeah, please.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So we bought our house in August, and so we haven't been here for a springtime. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to figure out the when you should spray for bugs, because last night when we were watching the draft, an ant that could probably be our family pet crawled across the TV as Dallas was making their pick. And I've been hesitant to have them come because I'm nervous always about bug spray.
Yeah.
But we live in Northfield, and we have heavy trees everywhere.
Yeah.
And
so here's what you want to do. On the outside of the house, you want to buy a product and sprinkle it around the perimeter of the home called Bonide Revenge.
Bonide Revenge.
It comes in a big bottle, and it's a sprinkle. You're going to go all the way around the perimeter of the house, and you're fine. It's not going to bother you or a pet or whatever. And on the inside, you're going to use a product called Taro Ant Bait Stations. And they kind of remind me of the old Kraft cheese and crackers. Remember the thing you used to rip open, Steve, and eat the cheese and crackers?
Let me tell you something. Those. You told me about this last year. I'm not making this up. You put these stations out, and it is a parade. Yeah, it's unbelievable. I opened the top of this Taro ant bait. So you think you got two ants.
Yeah.
You put the Taro ant bait station down, you look up, and it is 5 o'clock on the Eisenhower with ants going in to die.
Right.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. They come over like it's the old country buffet. They're like, hey, look at this.
It's a fascinating freak show that will scar you forever.
Right, but then they take it back to the queen in the nest, and they give it to her like, hey, your majesty, look what I found you. And then,
so do you put it by like the sliding glass door?
You put it wherever you see them.
All right.
And so they'll come, and you'll see more ants, which will gross you out.
Yeah.
But then it takes about 3 or 4 days of you still seeing ants, but it will work.
All right.
And it's going to be a problem.
You've got to replace them every month.
Okay.
Yeah. See, Steve, you don't need me.
Right, I could have asked Steve.
Well, this was bizarre last year. Let me just tell you this. Put them out and then run from the room. Don't look.
Yeah, that's going to be. How often are we spraying that stuff on the outside of the house?
That has a good water retention, but I would probably do that once a month.
Okay.
Bonide Revenge.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All right. Lou knows too much, or it's quite possible he doesn't know anything. He just makes stuff up. How will we know? We don't know what we're talking
right.
about.
I just say it with authority.
7 o'clock tomorrow morning, Lou will be on with the Mr. Fix-It program, and he's on TV on Channel 9 here in just a few minutes.
Love your show.
Oh, I love you back. That's Lou Manfredini, and again, thank you to American Weather Makers. We'll come back with your big story next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
The Chicago Bears are now on the clock, awaiting their pick at number 9, moving up 2 spots with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
So with the 9th pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Leonard Floyd, linebacker, Georgia.
We would talk a lot throughout the season, hey, Ryan, we got to get off the field on third down. We got to get off the field on third down. We need you guys to help us in that area. And this is the type of player that can help that. And he has a natural charisma to him, kind of like Kevin White has the same kind of charisma when you walk in the room. Leonard has that too.
Adam Hogue hasn't changed clothes since Monday and is live at the NFL Draft and Draft Town. Hey, first things first, Draft Town's not coming back next year, huh?
Doesn't sound like it.
Where are they going to take it? Do we know?
It sounds the final decision should be made in the next couple of months, but it sounds like Philadelphia might actually be in the lead.
Hmm. How about that?
Yeah. Philly next year, and when the new stadium is built in L.A.,
yeah,
that's going to be where they go.
Okay,
yeah, that's what they're waiting for now.
Fun while it lasted. You like the pick?
We'll see. This isn't a guy. First of all, he was number 10 on the Bears big board that we've been doing here on your show for a few weeks now. And so he's a guy I like that's on there. He wasn't the top guy available. The concerns that I have are the concerns that I think were well documented last night when the pick was made, and that's that he needs to put on weight and be and get stronger. I made the comparison to Shea McClellan immediately last night just because it's very similar in that he's fast, he's very athletic, he brings the speed as a pass rusher, but he's not necessarily strong at the point of attack. So
will this make Hamp's head explode next hour when I talk to him?
I don't. Hopefully
Hamp,
not.
Hamp wanted a tackle.
Yeah, but you know what? DeForest Buckner wasn't there anymore. I don't hate the pick. What I was a little surprised about is that they moved up, and when they did, that's when it kind of clicked in my head that this might be the pick they were making, because I knew the Giants really liked Leonard Floyd, and so to move up with just two spots and leapfrog a team like that, when I knew also the Giants liked Jack Conklin, and he already came off the board to Tennessee, I had a feeling this might be the pick.
All right, so who's going to go second today?
To the Bears?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, but I do know there's some guys that are on the still from the Bears big board available. One of those guys is, and I told you yesterday that it was going to be a big storyline, and it was, and that's UCLA linebacker Miles Jack, who didn't get drafted last night. Maybe the most talented player in this entire draft, but he has a major knee issue that teams are worried he's not going to be able to play more than 5 years in the league. He might need surgery down the road. With his knee, and that's enough to fall out of the first round, apparently. I'll tell you what, let's say worst-case scenario, he plays 4 years, but he's a Pro Bowler for two of them. You could do a lot worse than that in the second round.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt about it. And you know what? If he's got a five-year knee, then you give him a five-year deal.
Right, and well, in these contracts, once you're in the second round, are 4 years.
Well, there you go.
No matter what.
And then you can figure it out.
Yeah, he's there. Jalen Smith from Notre Dame, no surprise that he wasn't taken in the first round, and he's a guy they're not sure whether he will play, but might have been, what, Adam, maybe at the top of the draft before the injury in the Fiesta Bowl.
Yeah, and Dave, I don't know if he's going to get drafted tonight either.
Wow.
I think he might end up being a day three pick, which is sad. You know, this is sad for both Miles Jack and Jalen Smith, because these are two guys that I was really looking forward to seeing at the NFL level, and I still think they have a chance here, but we're talking about two top 10 picks for sure, maybe top five for both of them, and now they're falling back out of the first round at least, and for Jalen Smith it'll probably be even farther. Although, you know, I should bring up, both of these guys have injury insurance policies,
mm-hmm.
and for instance, I believe Jalen Smith's it starts as soon as he falls out of the first round. And for every pick that goes by starting tonight, he gets $100,000. So up to $5 million. So he's kind of covered himself, and Miles Jack has as well, for this situation. But still, you know, they want to be on the field and win. And if these knee injuries don't allow them to have a long NFL career, then that's kind of sad.
Yeah, it's too bad. Last question from you, Dave.
All right, Bears have the 10th pick tonight in the second round. They also have the 9th pick in the third round. A'shaun Robinson from Alabama is still on the board. Offensively, Connor Cook, the Michigan State quarterback, is still there. I don't know if he's going to be there at 10th, but there were three quarterbacks taken in the first round. Could you see the Bears going that high in the draft for a quarterback if a guy like Cook was there?
Yeah, I would watch Cook, and I would watch Christian Hackenberg.
Right,
the Penn State.
Mm-hmm. Dave, you might remember this. Ryan Pace was at Ryan Field when Penn State came there this year,
yep,
and got an up-close look at Christian Hackenberg. I like Hackenberg a little bit more than Cook because I like the makeup. There's no question that Cook had a much better college career and is certainly a winner, which I like too. But I think the upside's a little bit higher with Hackenberg. I think one of them could very well be on the board still. I expect... with some of the reports that came out last night, like the Cowboys were trying to trade back up in the first round and grab a quarterback. I think there were a couple other teams that were as well. It wouldn't surprise me if those two guys go kind of early, at least in the first half of the second round. And And I don't know if the Bears – I think the Bears are most likely looking more for quarterback, like maybe in the fourth round, although they did trade one of their fourth-round picks away last night to grab Leonard Floyd. So it would surprise me, I guess, if they did it tonight. But I've always said, if you're going to go get that guy that you think is Jay Cutler's replacement down the line, you got to do it in the first two rounds. I think it'd be much better off if A'shaun Robinson or Kevin Dodd, also from Clemson, he's still available too. If one of those two guys is still available when the Bears pick, I would go that direction first.
All right, keep an eye on Kevin Powell while you're there because it's his first draft and he's part of Thieve and Rokon show now and he might steal in a storyline from you.
Okay.
All right, just giving you a heads up.
I'll do that.
Just giving you a heads up. Thank you, buddy.
All right, thanks, guys.
It's Adam Hoke, sponsored by the United Association Union of Plumbers, Fitters, Welders, and Service Technicians, and our friends at Chevy, ChevyDriveChicago.com at 650. Let's come back after traffic on 720 WGN. Well, this can't be good. The old coach is on the phone.
Excellent. What's your history? Why does he dislike you so much?
I'm not even sure he knows who he's talking to.
Ah.
The old coach is apparently at Draft Town. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Good morning, Cochran.
Yeah, nice to talk to you again. Are you at Draft Town?
Give me Leather Sack Panuchka here.
Yes, I knew that, yes. So are you at Draft Town?
Yeah, I'm at Draft Town. Hey, tell me something, Cochran. Why do you got Hogue on, Adam Hogue? What a waste of time.
What's your problem with Hogue?
Oh, give me a break. His ass has got to be jealous of all the crap that comes out of his mouth.
Now he's upset with Adam.
Well, it feels like a break for me. So anyway, Coach, what do you think of the draft so far?
Yeah, well, this is my 80th one. I was back here in 1936 when the Canton Bulldogs took Charlie Prohibition Lisolewski.
Well, that must have been a good time. And do you think the Bears made a good pick yesterday?
I don't think the Bears know what they're doing at all.
Okay.
They're like you, Cochran. They don't know nothing.
Coach, I just don't know what your problem is with me. I don't entirely understand it.
You know, Cochran, it's an outsider. What do you think of the human race?
Well, it seems like a fair question, but let me get back to you on that.
Coach? I fell asleep.
Okay, sorry, Coach.
I don't normally go. I go to bed late last night. I think my head hit the pillow about 7:15.
That is late for you. I thought we might have to get the paddles there for a second. I thought the coach was down. Coach, do you have any advice for me that going through the rest of the show?
No, listen. I've always said, Cochran, you got street smarts. That's what I'm proud of you. Of course, when I say street smarts, I'm talking Sesame Street.
You almost choked there, didn't you? A little bit.
You know, life's gotta really blow for you, Cochran, going through life kind of like it's always being the before picture.
Yeah, it's not great. I'll give you that. All right, listen, Coach, we're a little short on time. Are you going to be at Draft Town today?
I'm going to be Draft Town the whole day, you dumb son of a gun.
Okay.
You know, if you was any dumber, I'd have to water you twice a week.
Is there an opportunity for fans to come out and say hi to you? Because I know you love the kids.
Yeah, I'll be by the Trump booth.
All right, thanks. That's the old coach. He's really warming to me, I
think. I want to know what you did to him. You must have done something.
He claims I played for him. I don't remember him being one of my coaches.
Boy, he doesn't like you much.
Well, if he was at the 1936 NFL draft.
Yeah, he was cranky when, you know, in the 70s.
Well, you covered that.
Yeah.
Was he
cranky then?
No,
it was in Philadelphia, so I did
not. I remember
not.
Coach Smith, and I remember a Coach Hanel. Coach Chanel. This could be Coach Chanel.
Coach Chanel? Like
no.
The perfume?
Hanel. He's a guy. He's a guy who, at one point, he lined up across from me without any gear on because he thought I wasn't blocking properly.
Uh-huh.
And I hit him under his chin. He bit his tongue, and he fell down, and he started bleeding. And the rest of the team clapped. He wasn't a real popular coach.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I've said it many times. I'm very lucky, very blessed to have some very talented friends, very skilled friends that make me look better in the team picture.
Thank you.
One of them is Rick Hogan from your Chicago Tribune and WGN Radio. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Hello, Steve. Nice to be in here.
Nice to talk to you. You know what a fan I am of your work, and I got an advanced look at a piece that'll run this Sunday in the Chicago Tribune. It's probably up online by now, I would guess.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
At chicagotribune.com on our mutual friend, Bill Zemme.
That's one of the nicest, because I know you're so fond of Bill, one of the nicest things I've done for myself in many, many years was to walk in here and tell you that.
Well, made my day.
Made mine, too.
Bill Zemme is, for my money, there's no better chronicler of this past 25 or 30 years of pop culture than Bill Zemme. He knows everybody. He's talked to everybody.
Well, he's been as a writer at the sort of hot center of entertainment. I can't think of many other people who have interviewed Frank. He did Frank Sinatra's last interview.
Johnny Carson's final interview.
Yep. Part of the reason is that I think they respect Bill as a writer, but I also think, as we both do, they respect Bill as one of the most charming, ebullient people.
He's impossible not to like. I'll tell you a quick story, and I don't even know if he's ever talked about this publicly, so I won't give away all of it. But he had ended a relationship. And in ending a relationship, he was asked to do a magazine piece on Jack Nicholson. He goes in to see Jack Nicholson. It's one of these deals where you go into a hotel suite. He walks in to see Nicholson, and Nicholson says, Billy, nice to see you. You look down. What's going on? He tells him, this just happened. Nicholson talks to him for 45 minutes about women. And about what to do about women and a buddy talk. And the handler comes in and goes, Jack, we really got to go. We're out of time. He goes, we haven't even started talking yet. And then does the interview with him. Yeah. Because you get in a room with Zemme, it's impossible not to like him.
But he's also, too, the other thing about it is during this cancer battle he's been on for 2.5 years, roughly, and a cancer battle never really ends, as we all know, but he's sort of out of the woods now. But the way he handled this, I mean, he could walk into St. Joseph's Hospital now, where he stayed for five solid months. He would be mobbed by nurses and doctors.
Well, you want him as a patient, even in the worst throws of it, because when they told him he had stage 4 colon cancer, what did he say?
He said, well, the great thing about Bill, and I'm not a doctor, but I might recommend this to almost everybody. They go, you have stage 4 colorectal cancer, and we're going to beat it, and we're going to save it. So unlike most people who immediately go to WebMD or some other site, Bill's like, I didn't go there because I thought it would drive me crazy. And I thought, I don't know if they're 5 stages or 10 stages.
Right. He didn't know where he was, and he didn't want to know.
Let's get to work.
Right.
Let's get to work. And his attitude throughout the whole thing was that ebullient, positive.
And he will tell you, look, I think he's come around to accepting the fact that he is a literal miracle. Stage 4 colon cancer is a really bad day.
No question.
When you get that kind of news.
Well, because you know what? I don't mean to, if Bill's listening, I don't mean to trouble him by this, but there is no stage 5.
No.
There is no stage 5.
No. So to get stage 4 colon cancer and to survive it and to be in a position now where when you read the piece, you'll understand I don't want to give it away. I was on the verge of saying too much because I want you to read the piece. The point is he got great news while he was talking to you. It's all laid out in there, and you lay out beautifully and you write it beautifully about
thanks.
This journey that he has been on for the last 3 years and why he's disappeared from the public.
Well, the journey is even longer than that, Steve, as you well know. In 2005, he signed a deal to write a massive Carson biography.
The book.
As the last,
his Moby Dick.
Yes, as the last person to interview Johnny. He got trapped in what he charmingly calls Johnny World for 7 years. He couldn't finish the book because one interview would lead to another interview, would lead to another interview. And then, October of 2013, he gets a deal with NBC for a miniseries based on his book, which would now enable him financially and emotionally to carry on and finish the book. He goes up to a cabin in Door County to sort of get all organized and finish this thing, and he gets sick. So he's kind of been, you know, he's kind of been in two different holes.
Yes.
The Johnny World hole and the colorectal stage four cancer.
Anybody that fancies himself a writer will understand when you run up against a wall and you can't figure out what to write next. And because Carson meant so much to him, the way he means a lot to me and you and all of us.
Of course, everybody.
He couldn't figure out what to do next, and he was trying to research it, massage it. In the meantime, he was ignoring some pretty significant health signals, and he will be the first to tell you, don't ever do that.
It's the classic, I did it when I was younger, it's the classic freelance writer's conundrum. Well, should I have health insurance or should I have dinner? And you ignore it. He did not go to a doctor, as he freely admits, for 5 years because he didn't have health insurance.
Once it got bad, he didn't want to know.
Yeah. And it's also the whole notion that we all feel at some point immortal.
Yeah. Right.
Bill was only 55 when this diagnosis right. happened. He's 57 now. He looks, as you will see, ladies and gentlemen, in the Sunday Tribune. You can sort of get a glimpse of it online. But Steve Cochran, wait till you see these pictures. I mean, Bill actually looks better than he's ever looked.
Which is fantastic, because the last time he and I had dinner, you know, he was dealing with a lot of discomfort.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I didn't even know he was awake at this hour, for crying out loud.
He doesn't sleep. He doesn't sleep.
He's on the phone. Mary, give me a quick traffic here, and then we'll say a quick hi to Bill, because what I want to do is have Bill come in here and ride shotgun with us, and Rick rejoin us even after the Sunday piece so we can spend a little time talking to him. But we'll say hi to him in a second. At 7:16, stand by for a walk and talking miracle. First, here's Mary. If you are, as I have always been, long before I knew him as a friend, a fan of Bill Zemme, this is a call that maybe those of us closest to him didn't think we'd be able to take. A walk and talking miracle. I'm not exaggerating. Good morning, Bill.
Fellas, my ears are ringing, so I figure I better just check in here. Thank God.
Hey, this is one of the lovely, and it'll help you write more books, one of the lovely kind of after effects of this is you have trouble sleeping, so you're always up.
Oh, that's true.
I'm up at all times. I emulate my hero Hugh Hefner here, and I figure it's this place, you know, again, if they have places sold out from under me, I'll go with it. Like half is, you know, going with the Playboy Mansion now. If you want to buy the Playboy Mansion, and you could, Steve, and
yes.
I think you ought to,
yeah.
buddy, and I think you could put the funds together, and I think Rick knows people. So anyhow, we could buy that Playboy Mansion, but we'd have to have half. You know that. He comes with the place.
Bill's That's feeling great. So good now. He's looking for a West Coast relocate, kind of a bi-coastal you know, lifestyle.
Well, I hear he needs help staying up all night now, and I got it down. So what the heck?
Well, listen. I want you to come in here when we've got time to talk and hang out.
That'd be big fun. Oh, geez, are you?
And
yeah,
I know
you're going to get a new shift for me, so I can come in.
But I know this is not your favorite hour of the day. But having said that, love you, man, and I couldn't be more thrilled. I love what Rick wrote, and you can see it online now at ChicagoTribune.com, but you can see it Sunday. Get the paper. Would it kill you? Buy the paper. Buy the paper. See
paper.
The great photography.
The
Bill, it's a very big, big, handsome photo of you. You're going to freak out when you see it in print.
Oh,
you're really going to freak out.
Well, the people will be demanding refunds on Monday. That's the case.
And
I'm frightened already. Thanks. This is great. I love these men. Come on, folks. These are the two best guys in the city of Chicago, right here, right there.
And I know that Bill is, when energy allows, he is writing, and he's back in it and getting back in the groove. So we're going to see more of the, as I named him a few years ago, Rick, the czar of pop culture.
Well, all you need ladies and gentlemen, is go read my piece, but also go to just Google Bill Zemme, Frank Sinatra Jr., and you will find an incredible piece that had never seen print since 1984, and it's really an amazing, it's Bill Zemme.
Yeah, it's tremendous.
Cut it out. It's Frank Jr. is what it is.
No,
I'm telling you, Frank Jr. at the Holiday Inn, what it used to be the Holiday Inn over there on Lakeshore Drive.
And these guys are both such great writers. You read that piece, and you can actually feel what it's like to walk on the carpet in the old Holiday Inn as you're walking over to Frank's table to talk to him.
No question.
You're the best, man. I will talk to you later. Thanks for talking to Rick about this. Sunday, you can read it in the paper. Read it today if you like at ChicagoTribune.com. And I'll call you later when you're up.
Oh, that'd be great. I love you, boys. Go get him.
See you later. Too, buddy. You
He's
too.
The best. And you're the best.
He sounds
fantastic.
Yeah.
Sunday, paper is out tomorrow. Get two copies. You're careless. You lose the first one. And read it today. Thank you, man.
Let me know what you think of the photos, too.
Oh, I can't wait to see them. All right, we got to get to a quick break. We'll come back with Hamp in just a moment on the draft. And Mayor Rahm Emanuel's surprise visit in studio before 8 on 720 WGN.
An animal!
Dan Hamp. Dan Hamp anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal!
It's time for Dan Hampton.
Sponsored by your Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevy dealers. And the United Association Union of Plumbers, Fitters, Welders, and Service Technicians. 24 hours ago, Hamp was on this show saying, give me a tackle, man. Give me an inside rusher. Give me a guy who can make a big old pile of bodies. What do you think of this linebacker pick?
Well, hey, good morning, Steve. You know, it's the closest thing we can get to one. The outside edge rusher is obviously a premium now in the NFL, and I just got to tell you, the kid's going to be a good player. A great player, we'll find out, but a good player for sure. You know, all I can tell you is this defense needs players that can turn offenses over, make big plays, force turnovers, all that stuff. This kid, he's huge wingspan. He's got quickness. He's got a lot of things that make it hard for you to block him on the edge. I'm just saying, you know, I still think we've got a guy just like this. I mean, Willie Young's, you know, pretty darn near the same body type. You know, we could talk for days about, you know, who's going to rush the quarterback from the inside area. Well, they'll find somebody. But I do know this, that, you know, this kid, he's got a lot of upside. And Ryan Pace, remember, Ryan Pace is an old defensive lineman himself, and you recognize certain traits and abilities that you covet. And obviously this kid was something special. He traded up two spots to get him.
A defense after skill, what's the most important attribute? Is it attitude? Is it heart? Is it some other intangible?
Absolutely. You know, Lou Holtz was really an offensive coach, but he would make comments about the defense back in the day, and he would say, hey, give me some kind of a whack job on defense because it takes seven guys to hold somebody down in a straitjacket. Well, if you get 11 of them, you know, do the math. I obviously, being relentless is something that I don't see enough of. You know, I see guys willing to come off the ball, but way too quick to be blocked. And once they're blocked, they stop their feet. They start looking around, grabbing, you know, jerseys. That's the one thing that, you look for in the film. I'll tell you this. I went back and did a little recon this morning. Georgia is one of the premium programs in America. And their number one game is against the Alabama Crimson Tide. You know, to be the man, you got to beat the man. Well, Alabama came into Athens, and they ran the ball almost 50 times. Derrick Henry, their great running back, had 148 yards. And this young man, Leonard Floyd, had two tackles out of 50 rushes. So you're thinking you need to show up more than that. So we'll find out. But all I can tell you is that there's a certain gene that certain players have that make them refuse to be blocked, and they make things happen. You know, Urlacher had it. He was a safety in college. They put him at linebacker. He became a guy that would just go find the football. If this kid, you know, can build on that type of an attitude and become more relentless. That's one thing. Pernell McPhee, you can say what you want. He played on one leg last year after the fourth week of the season.
But he was one of your football lunatics, and we need football lunatics. Yeah, Dave, jump in here.
So bottom line is, let's hope that Floyd becomes, you know, one of those guys that wants to run with the pack, and they start getting after people and dominating the offensive line.
Hamp, one of the knocks is that he needs to get stronger at the point of attack.
Yep.
But at the same time, isn't that true of a lot of guys who were drafted last night. I mean, a guy coming out of college, 3 years of college.
Yeah, college NFL strength training is different than NFL strength
training.
Yeah,
and he's got the frame, it would seem, to do it, right?
There's no question that this kid is going to be a different body type 3 years from now because he still has a lot of maturation. And you know, Jimmy Butler with the Bulls, I remember when he was a rookie, and I think, what was he taking, the 18th pick, 20? Nobody ever talked about him. Now he's maybe, you know, one of the top five prototype body types in the NBA because he has matured. Well, this Leonard Floyd has a chance to become the same thing. And you look around the league, and a 6'6", big, you know, arc pass rusher, everybody wants one. Everybody needs one. And, you know, I made this point, and a lot of people have to understand, you know, the NFL, they're kind of peer pressurized in the sense that, hey, if one team starts running the ball over everybody, we need to do that. And they want to copy success. Well, the Denver Broncos won the Super Bowl, not because of their quarterback, not because of a lot of, you know, great receivers. They did it because they had the best pass rush in football. They had 52 sacks. They led the NFL.
Right.
They basically said to the rest of the league, I don't care who your quarterback is, if he can't stand up, you can't beat us. They rode that all the way to the Lombardi Trophy. That basically made an impact on John Fox and Ryan Pace. They said, hey, we're going to find pass rushers that can make a big impact. You know, obviously, I wanted somebody inside, Shaq Lawson or the kid from Louisville. But all I can tell you is, you know, we've got some coaches with a great pedigree. They've been up and down this league for years and years. And if this kid made him move up two spots, there's something about him that they think is special.
Chicago Six will play tonight at Draft Town. Where are you guys playing?
Hot dog. Yeah, we're playing at the NFC stage right by Buckingham Fountain, 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock.
It'll be fun.
A short, abbreviated set because of they've given us a window there in the draft coverage. So
cool.
We're looking forward to it. We're going to have a great time. Otis, Mongo, they're already down there right now warming up. Can't wait.
I bet they are. Thank you, buddy. Ham sponsored by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers and the United Association Union of Plumbers, Fitters, Welders, and Service Technicians. ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
My wife makes, when the kids are gone, she makes a kale smoothie. I have to drink kale in the morning, okay?
Dave Ennett just lit up.
Oh,
Dave,
oh man.
Dave Ennett's favorite thing is kale.
You're singing my tune, Mr. Mayor.
Oh, my God, this is kale, berries, or whatever.
Oh.
I said, Amy, please. And she goes, no, we have to do this. I feel like the first thing in the morning, rather than have breakfast, I get to have medicine.
So you're entitled to not eat that stuff or not drink it, but not unless your wife tells you.
We actually grow kale in our backyard, okay?
See?
Oh, no, Dave.
Dave, do you like kale?
I do.
Okay, that's it. I'm bringing you kale from the Emmanuel Garden this summer because then it means I don't have to have it for breakfast. Thank you, David.
Thank you.
He's a man of his word. Mayor Rahm Emanuel live in studio, and he brought the vegetables. You're a man of your word. You said you'd do this?
Well, first of all, the girls and I are very excited at the house because now this is less for us. And our view is we're ready to share and make sure everybody else is happy and healthy.
Oh, it's okay? So great.
Right?
So great of you to give back to the city you love.
I love you. Are you ready? We not only have a bag of spinach from the garden.
Okay.
Okay. You're about to drink. Now get that close to your lips.
Okay.
Here we go.
Here we go.
It has protein powder.
Protein powder.
Okay. Goji berries.
Goji berries.
Maca.
Sure. Maca. Mm-hmm.
Cocoa nibs.
Okay.
Flax and chia seed.
Right.
MCT oil.
Uh-huh.
Spinach and kale. Beet and various fruits. And the spinach and kale is from our garden. I'm telling you.
So you should.
What you don't have here, because when I do this, I put my back to her and I drink it near the sink. Really? And so you have to know. I'm you know what?
Can I ask you?
Mi casa, su casa. Okay? I'm all in, baby.
I appreciate
guys,
it.
I'm just going to. Now, I have my big shoulders cup of coffee.
Yes, you do.
I will say the coffee shop was set up with the Chicago microloan, by the way.
Oh, nice.
Okay?
Well, that's a good thing.
So as I drink my coffee, I want you to have your Amy Rule special ingredients brought directly from the Emanuel household. Okay?
Well, let me just say, before I drink this, thank you to the First Lady of Chicago.
Thank you.
Okay, yeah. And no, you guys also have to say, this is great, honey. Try it right afterwards. Okay, let's work the whole experience.
That's
very
good.
That is very good.
Hold on, Mr. Mayor. I'll tell you the truth.
Yeah.
You know, it isn't bad. It really isn't bad. So let me just say, thank you, honey. It's delicious.
No. You have to twist and go from the sink back to her and say, honey.
Honey,
this one today has a special fruit. What is it? Right? Try that. Try what a relationship builder
is. It really isn't bad. It really isn't bad.
No, it actually is not. You don't want to know the ingredients.
Thank God for the cocoa beans, though.
Yeah,
those very
cocoa nibs. It was my name when I was a dancer.
Sometimes when is this a 1972? This really is unbelievable.
There was one ingredient you mentioned.
That was a very special year for the cocoa bean.
Yeah.
So there was one ingredient you mentioned. I think it was the second or third one I was not familiar with.
Guess what? A lot of us are not familiar with any of these, okay?
Matcha.
Maca. M-A-C-A. Maca.
Yeah. Or maca or matcha. Yeah.
So what is that?
It's like an ingredient, like a cleanser.
Yeah, Dave. U.S. history for 200, okay? Okay. Hey, give me a break. Third president. What state? What city? Come on.
All the kale you've had, supposedly that clears up the pipes. Come on, please.
He is going to share his spinach with you.
Now, that spinach, that's from the garden as well?
I will say to my lovely bride, okay? She is, that garden does, I mean, it's not like just tomatoes, cucumbers, and lettuce. I mean, we have all of Whole Foods, aisles 5, 6, and 7 in the house right there. And literally people from the neighborhood know.
Was she always really healthy?
Yes, always.
So she was always going, so she must have been incredibly beautiful when you met her because that
still
way.
Still is, Steve.
No, I'm saying.
Okay, don't.
No.
Okay, you're supposed to be helping the relationship. You are still are. No.
She's still incredibly beautiful now, but when you met her, because you didn't have to drink it then. You're signed up for the membership now.
It,
oh, please. Who are you kidding?
This is marital
bliss. You're no different than any other.
You know what I am? I am the Chamberlain of our marriage.
You are, yeah.
Peace in our time. That's my attitude.
Don't choke on this kale smoothie.
I just come off the helicopter. Peace in our time.
Love you.
Love you, yes.
What is it? Happy wife?
It's not bad.
It's really not bad.
It's good.
If you don't know the ingredients, it's really good. But we have that in the morning.
It's delicious. And that,
yeah.
You know what? The Blackhawks may have the players have a special concoction like this, and it sort of reminds me.
A lot of athletes. Here is the truth. First of all, a lot of athletes have their own nutritionist, and it is very helpful if you get injured to change your diet specifically based on whether it's joints, ligaments, etc. And so it does make you much healthier.
So you got some antioxidants in here. You got some pipe cleaners. You got a lot going on in
it. Pipe cleaner. Yeah. That's exactly how we refer to that.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Maca.
All right. Now, the other thing we brought up, one of your previous visits with us, the other thing we brought up was a bike and a drive and a bike tour with you and Andrea Darlis. So while you're here, we power up on kale smoothie.
Yeah.
And then at some point, we set up a date here where you two can go out on the bike.
When it gets warmer.
I'm ready.
All right, we can go next week.
Okay, I'm ready. We will come back and we will go on our bike tour and go through certain neighborhoods that I think have real, not that all neighborhoods don't have real gems, but ways. And one of the things we're also working on now that we have, last night I was at the draft.
Yeah.
Two guys from Naples, Florida. I had two people, a radio guy actually, ESPN radio guy from North Dakota was in, is making sure our Divvy bikes have stuff about our neighborhood. So if you wanted to go Logan Square, Pilsen, that you'd be able to punch up and find out information, then you could bike.
Oh, that's cool.
I love that. And you've done that too with the monuments and the statues. You just pull up your phone, you click, and you can hear something about the statues. Then the
so it's like the museum earbud tour, but you do it outside wherever you are in Chicago.
Pilsen on your phone, kind of. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And then it's great for the city and make sure people get in and around. And there was a texted me yesterday a story about why Chicago's better to go visit than New York, and it's about our sports, our neighborhoods.
Come on, dude. There's a million reasons.
Yeah. You can get special smoothies at the mayor's house. We have to have why have a lemonade stand when you can have a smoothie stand right outside with two teenagers right there?
Did you ever have a lemonade stand when you were a kid?
Yes.
And did you make good lemonade, or did you know?
I would not call it the best, but it prepared for me for all the lemons I'm dealing with to try to make some lemonade.
Look what you did there.
You
look
go.
What you
was
did
that
there.
Good?
That was good. Look what you
that
did
That was
there.
A line I would have given Clinton or Obama at some point. Right? TMI. I've been holding it for TMI. 12 years. I finally found a place to use it right here on Cochran's show.
You probably should have kept it. Dave.
Yeah, what did you hear from the NFL about the draft this year? Because I know they were so happy with the way things went last year.
Well, last night, I think they put the numbers out, 108,000, 109,000 people, which let's just say they blew their socks away. All day, Roger Goodell was saying, the head of the chairman of the NFL, that this is, you know, the best city to host it in. He said it set the new standard, gold standard. You know, 3 years ago when I was in New York, and it was there for 50 years, they didn't really have what the NFL draft has come in. And, you know, there's no other city like a Grant Park with that kind of setting. And sure. Last night, after I left, and I was watching ESPN, and the shots of the city were $1 million job.
Well,
we have 45 million viewers when you put all the media together.
Well, it's tremendous for the city, for the view of the city and all that. But also, I don't want people to misunderstand that if the NFL goes somewhere next year, it's because there's 32 teams. It has nothing to do with not being happy with the city of Chicago.
Actually, here, I have this, I have a couple tricks up my sleeve.
Right.
And was already talking to the NFL about them, but no one thing. We already have the NHL draft coming next year because we were so successful last year in performing. We're a great sports town in the heartland of America, the most American of American cities. And it's the 100-year centennial of the NHL. Blackhawks were one of the original six, so they've never had the draft here. And it's going to be – we're already getting and we know how to put on big shows. That's our kind of DNA. It's in our wheelhouse. And I think this is going to be great for the city, and we will continue to bring sporting events to the city. Just know that. More to come.
What's a big deal?
Big deal.
You were going to ask about the run?
Yeah, the run. I know, Shamrock Shuffle kicked off the running season just a few weeks ago. Tomorrow there's going to be with the Park District and Kara, Go Run. It's a free series of runs throughout the whole city. Again, another chance to see some of the beautiful neighborhoods.
The First Lady, after she drinks her smoothie in the morning, and the mayor when
and they really are good.
Well, yes, really are good.
I'm not kidding. You really are.
You're going to have to call her and tell her that. Yeah. She wants you to know specifically what's in it. We're going to do the run for police officers.
Excellent.
Tomorrow. And obviously there is, as a park district, neighborhood runs. I run, they started 2 years ago. This will be the third year, Run Englewood. I do it also in the Austin community, but it's a great way to see the neighborhood, just like biking the neighborhood. And it's a great way to bring a community together.
All right, tomorrow enough fun for you. What's on the agenda today? Your to-do list today. What's the to-do list for you today?
I'm going to see if I can't just tell Amy how much you enjoy her smoothie.
Yeah. We have be your first call.
We have a long series of meetings on a number of issues across the city, but also some economic investment ideas that we're going to be doing and working also on homelessness.
I keep hyping 1871 because I'm so blown away by Chicago's tech hub and really the world paying attention to the leading minds in technology and the leading way to do a startup to do it here.
Yes, 1871, which is one of many innovation spaces and community spaces, was now rated number one in the United States for spaces like that. You know, 4 years ago, it didn't exist. And the second thing is we just had a very successful second year in a row venture capital summit, so bringing the funds from East and West Coast to see what we see here in the city of Chicago. Two facts. The vacancy rate downtown or Central Business District is at its lowest in 15 or 16 years.
That's great.
And 25% of the growth has been in the tech space. So Chicago's adding what used to be kind of like a one-company tech phenomenon. In just the last year, CleverSafe was bought by IBM for $1.2 billion, a data research company. SAP bought Fieldglass. I forgot the amount. PayPal, which was started here, moved to the West Coast, bought Braintree here for about $800 million. And each of the last two are adding 200 to 300 jobs per year.
It's tremendous.
So Chicago's really becoming that kind of Fulton Market, merchandise market, and Montgomery Ward's building that along the river, a digital triangle and hub and real kind of powerhouse in the digital and tech economy.
In a world filled with people searching for bad news and with all the stuff that goes out every day, this is the type of stuff that we like to talk about here too, and that is there is so much good news about Chicago and so much good news about what's happening with the people of the city. How about we emphasize and focus on that once in a while?
No, here's what I always say. It is okay, obviously, not only just okay. You're supposed to hold all of us in public life accountable.
Right.
We have a great city. if you don't believe it, when visitors come, just listen to them talk about the city. Yeah. And it's not just downtown. We have 77 neighborhoods. We have 140 languages spoken in our city. There's not a type of food that you can't get, music you can't hear. And, we're about to have our little bike ride, okay? But, we have 18 miles stretch of incredible, majestic view. It's our, what I always say, that's our Yellowstone. That's our Grand Canyon.
It's tremendous.
And with bike and running, but to enjoy the city. We have our challenges, like every city. But it is an incredible, great city with great people. And if we remember that and then focus not only on our strengths, but deal with our challenges and our problems, don't hide from them, but they are not what define us. What define us is how we solve them.
Well, I appreciate you being here because I know how busy you are, but we always appreciate opportunities to talk to you. But before you go,
yes,
on a level of optimism as you go forward into the next 3 years, where are you at? 1 to 10?
Oh, I would say 7.5 to 8.
That's great.
Very optimistic. Here's the way I kind of always make and look at it. I know the condition of the city was in when I came into office. I'm going to make sure that every Chicagoan, regardless of where you live, and Chicago as a city, is better prepared for the 21st century. And everybody's better prepared to seize it. And I want to just like an example. I was with, I happen to know him from my Clinton days, Prime Minister Tony Blair, former Prime Minister Tony Blair, happened to be in town on Tuesday, called and said, can we get together?
Did you guys go to the Billy Goat? Hang on.
I wanted to, but he But he says, I hear something about these smoothies here. The first lady. I am giving it I just hope the First Lady realized how on message
they're
I
tremendous.
Am.
Yeah. I haven't shared mine. They're tremendous.
Yeah. So anyway, we got together. He was in shock. He's been to Chicago, just loves the city. But I told him that we were talking about how to prepare people for 21st century, what's happening in developed economies around the world, England, France, Germany, in a sense of the spread in wealth and income inequality, but also skill disparities. I told him here in Chicago, this is our second year we're starting, that if you get a B average in high school, community college is free. And he says, you got to get me stuff on. And he's now totally fixated that we're the only city saying in the United States, 12th grade is not where our commitment to you ends. And we're ensuring that everybody, we opened up Dunbar this week, will be the trade school for carpentry.
Yep.
We're the only city where every military branch runs a high school. So if you want to go to the armed services, we now have free community college for those who earn it with a B average.
Well, that's the earn is the key word. Yep. Kids have to earn their way in. It's sweat equity, academic sweat equity.
We'll give you opportunity if you be responsible.
Right.
There's a relationship between opportunity and responsibility. It's not going to be just hand out.
Right.
You have to earn it. And if you get a B average, we make that. And I want them to compliment every institution, four-year institution in the city, from University of Chicago, DePaul, Loyola, Columbia, Roosevelt, UIC, all of them, St. Xavier, every one of them. If you maintain that B average in community college, you're enrolled and they will give you a discount on tuition. That's and that tremendous. Is the major stress on families. And we're going to make sure we have the best educated workforce in the United States. And that's what's going to make sure that Chicago continues to have a incredible future. And that's why I'm very optimistic about the future, because we got great people.
Got to grow it from the ground up. You got to make sure the next generation is great.
You got to grow it from the ground up, like spinach.
Grow it from the ground up and grow your kale from the ground up. Please thank the First Lady for breakfast. Yes. It was very nice. And we'll be over for dinner on Sunday.
She's very excited about making one for you every week if you really want.
I'm in. I'm telling you. I gave mine up grudging.
Did you look under the lid, by the way?
No.
Don't. I recommend just keep drinking. Just don't do that.
Nobody wants to see what it looks like.
It's not a visual drink, okay?
It really isn't.
No, it's not a visual drink.
I just
don't
take a glance.
Don't really recommendation isn't. When you drink this, look straight out the window.
Right.
Turn towards the sink, turn back. Thank you, honey. May I have another?
The beautiful flowers on Michigan Avenue.
Mayor Emanuel, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate you being here.
You guys are great.
Traffic, here's Mayor.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
WGN Chicago.
720 WGN.
We continue with an exceptionally busy week, and at 8:10 in the morning, Dean will join us here in just a few minutes. We'll go over some show business and the movies for the weekend and stuff. But in light of what happened with former Speaker Dennis Hastert, and Andrea brought this up, days ago. And what is with the statute of limitations? How can there be a statute of limitations on sex crimes with children? The timing couldn't be better to speak with Attorney General Lisa Madigan, who joins us now on the phone. Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're doing fine, and we have a mutual concern here that if, you know, children are sexually abused, how can somebody walk away from that with almost no charges?
That's right, and I think, unfortunately, the situation earlier this week with Denny Hester showed why we shouldn't have a criminal statute of limitations on child sex abuse and sex assault crimes. You know, it shouldn't be that we say in Illinois, from your 18th birthday, you have 20 years, and so there's this almost arbitrary cutoff at the age of 38, particularly when, you know, you clearly have people who, for a variety of reasons, do not want to come forward. But when we have somebody who says, yes, I committed those crimes, and you have a judge who's not in a position to be able to sentence somebody on those crimes, it's truly a tragedy. It's a miscarriage of justice, and it should be changed.
The judge this week in the Hastert case, because, you know, a lot of folks understandably don't understand what cash restructuring is, or cash structuring, I should say, and that this is a financial crime, and the judge went as far as he could within the latitude the judge had in sentencing. Couldn't do anything, even though, as Attorney General Madigan just said, the criminal admitted the behavior. By the way, again, I'm sorry, I'm really hung up on this. Tom Cross gets a letter or a request for a letter from Denny Hastert to write a letter to the judge on his behalf when Denny Hastert knows one of his own victims is Tom Cross's brother who had the guts to stand up and speak in open court. I mean, that's a special kind of sickness. So what can you do on a state level?
Well, you know, that situation, as you point out, is, I think, unbelievable to everybody who hears it. So what we can do on a state level is we can eliminate the criminal statute of limitations that is in place right now. So these circumstances don't happen again. The terribly painful reality that you know, but nobody ever wants to think about, nobody ever wants to talk about, is that there are thousands and thousands and thousands of children every single year who are victims of criminal sexual assault and sexual abuse. And most of the time, the people that are abusing them are in some position of authority, almost by definition, right? Because they're adults.
Yep.
And so, you know, whether it is the coach or it's the, you know, scout leader, it's the priest, it's your uncle, as a child, you know, it's so difficult for you to ever come forward, or even if you do come forward, to be believed. And sometimes just the processing of this doesn't take place until you're older, or you're so ashamed you never want to come forward and admit it. We need to be able to say, whenever you come forward, we will take you seriously. We will investigate. If there's proof, a prosecution can move forward. But we shouldn't be in the position we find ourselves in now. And so it's a simple matter of asking the legislature to remove the statute of limitations for criminal sexual assault and sexual abuse against children. And the trend has been over the last 5 to 10 years, nationally, as well as at the federal level, to move out these or eliminate these statutes of limitations because of the understanding that we've gained about not just the prevalence of sexual assault and sexual abuse, but also because we've understood the impact it has on the survivor victims.
So, Lisa, what are the steps now? You've asked lawmakers to eliminate the statute of limitations, and then how quickly would it have to be a bill or changing the Constitution, and how quickly could that go away?
It would just be a bill. It's not the Constitution. And so it's as soon as the process moves along, and now that our legislature seemingly is in session, you know, all year round, it would be something they could do relatively quickly.
Yeah, and I can't imagine too many people standing up and going, whoa, no, I'm not for that. Because here is what people need to understand, just to expand on what you just said, Attorney General Madigan. When a child is sexually abused, the fear and the shame and the life-changing aspects of that, those don't go away. Those linger. Those affect every aspect of their life every single day. And it's not until they find some sort of love in their life and support in their life that they didn't have. And this isn't a knock on the parents or anybody else, because this is the dirty little secret that the creep put on them. It's only later, when they reach some miraculous point in their life, where they can have the courage that Tom Cross's brother showed this week and others have shown. And if they're 45 instead of 38, well, they better be able to stand up and say, I want that guy in jail.
That's right. That's right. It's as simple as that. And as you point out, you know, the devastating effect that this has on people throughout their lives is unfortunately well known. It's well documented. When somebody finally has the courage to come forward, law enforcement should be able to do an investigation. When somebody, you know, in open court says, yes, I did that, we should be able to penalize that person for that. It shouldn't be a situation where time has barred that.
General, would this be retroactive, or if this is eliminated going forward from that day?
It would only be going forward. We can't impose the statutes of limitations retroactively if the statute of limitations has already run on an underlying crime. And so that's unfortunate, but that's the way it works. And that's the real reason why we can't reach back and do anything about the situation that occurred to the boys on the wrestling team.
And last word here, and you guys feel free to jump in on this, but for people who are listening right now who have gone through this, and it's still a secret in your life, all I want you to hear is it's not your fault. It is not your fault. You didn't do anything wrong. You were victimized by people you should have been able to trust. And if there's not somebody in your life that you feel you can share this with and you really want to move on with your life and you want to get help for you, call us, man. Call us. We can get you resources. We can get you to people that can help move the ball on this. But in the meantime, I salute you for taking us on, and there couldn't be a better week to do it, obviously.
Well, I thank you for your message to survivors that are living out there. There are wonderful advocacy organizations that are out there throughout the state of Illinois and throughout our country who are here to help. And many people do turn to them. They never turn to law enforcement. But you should understand, we believe you. And again, it wasn't your fault. You're absolutely right with your message. So thank you for having me on this morning.
I appreciate you coming on. Enjoy the weekend. So thank you, Andrea, for bringing that up this week, too, move the ball on
Thanks
this. Because
Lisa Madigan,
we got to be able to talk about this stuff.
Yep. And good, that is good that, you know, this has been introduced. It is now in the hands of the lawmakers. This could be eliminated immediately once they pass this bill.
Right.
Which is what they should do.
Right. So first legislator up, run with it. Be the hero.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than white guys should. Yeah, Hollywood. Boy, kiss me good.
Hey, Dean, how are you?
That singing along really adds to it.
I didn't think you could hear it. You're just cranky because you didn't get one of Mayor Emanuel's wife's special kale shakes this
That's
morning.
That's very true.
Sponsored by Captain James A. Lovell's Federal Health Care Center, the Wintrust Community Bank's Hour continues.
What's in the kale shake?
I didn't
hear the whole thing, but there's obviously kale.
Yes, there's cocoa.
More than that.
Cocoa nibs,
yes.
Which was my name when I danced.
Flaxseed.
Flaxseed, maca. There are hubcaps.
Okay, you're just making
no,
up words.
No.
Kale and spinach.
There
berries.
Are bits of aluminum.
No.
some kind of berries.
Shredded weasel.
Dave, was it good?
It was very good.
I'm telling you, dude, I drank it. It was good.
You did drink it.
Don't look under the lid. That's all the mayor wants.
I'm a kale fan. I'm with Dave on this.
Okay. Well, good for
you. Thanks, Steve.
Good for both of you. I'm a fan of those shakes.
I feel badly
that the first lady of the city of Chicago's got to whip one up for me every morning, and the mayor's got to drop it off. But I think it's awkward if I come by their house.
Well, you know, he's doing whatever he can to kind of polish up the reputation right now. So.
He's helping the city. That's it. That's all. All right, let's get the ugliness out of the way right away. Please tell me I'm wrong about this Will Ferrell movie.
I don't know. Here's what I know, that there is allegedly a comedy that's in development right now about Ronald Reagan as he began to fall into dementia after he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease in 1994. The premise of this movie, as we read it, is about President Reagan, played by Will Ferrell, and an intern who convinces him that he's in a movie because he's sort of out of it with dementia. And I'm reading that it's a comedy, which baffles me, number one. But the president's family, his daughter yesterday, most recently, Patty Davis, came out and rather scathingly lashed out at Will Ferrell, saying, why don't you go visit a dementia center? Why don't you go visit one of these centers where people who have Alzheimer's disease are living and see if you still think it's funny?
He can't be that out of touch. I mean, the few times I've run across Will Ferrell, couldn't be a better guy. Big dude, by the way.
I agree. He is
couldn't be a better guy, and a guy who loves his kids and a charitable guy. He can't be that out of touch where he thinks even he could get away with an Alzheimer's comedy.
I couldn't agree with you more. People ask me all the time who my favorite A-listers are to talk to. He's one of them. Always been very nice, always considerate, a gentleman, courteous. I can't believe that he would, have such bad taste. Yet, over the past 3 days that this story has been out, not a peep from Will Ferrell. It would seem like, you know, if you were attached to something like this and what was being described was out there was wrong, that you would step forward and, correct it. So
very weird.
I don't know.
Prince latest, what do you got?
They issued a search warrant of Paisley Park yesterday. They are concerned, you know, that evidence may get tampered with, moved. So they want to see what drugs were in the house. They want to see what correspondence, prescriptions, if there was an abuse of Percocet, as has been widely reported. Where did it come from? You know, were these legal prescriptions? Were these illegal prescriptions? Who was filling these prescriptions for him? From where did all of this come? So a search warrant, sort of lockdown on his area so they can do full investigation on this. The latest story that, honestly, I find a little bit disgusting comes from the National Enquirer, who yesterday put out this report that he died of AIDS. A couple of things regarding this. You know, when a person dies, you can say anything about them and not be sued.
Yep.
After a person is dead, there's no way of slandering or libeling that person. So you could write whatever story that you want to. Number two, this is not 1983 with the AIDS crisis. Today, people are living, even people with full-blown AIDS, as this article implies, even with people with full-blown AIDS are living long and healthy lives with the control of drugs that are available. So,
I feel badly like you do about even talking about this story because I think it's idiotic. But if he contracted this in 1995, that's 21 years ago. And 21 years later, he suddenly decides to either go off the drug cocktail or it just kicks in. Look, I don't know enough about the science to know if that's even medically possible, but I share your disgust with the story.
It just doesn't make any sense. I mean, people are not dying of AIDS anymore.
Right.
That's from 19, you know, that's a dramatic headline that I'm sure sells newspapers, sure sells magazines. But medically, people are not dying of AIDS anymore.
So. One other point on this. People listening to this show, people watching you on TV this morning, there are literally thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And by the way, I'm included. I take, because of health concerns in the past, I take 4 prescription drugs a day. They are legal prescription drugs. None of those are technically opiate painkillers. But Percocet is an opiate painkiller. It's not opium, as I heard somebody bring up yesterday. It's also not heroin. It's not meth. Percocet is a prescription-based painkiller. Of course, you can abuse it. But again, the way the story is being reported by too many lazy people, right, it makes it sound like he's out scoring crack on the corner.
Yeah, and you know, we really just need to wait until the toxicology
results. How about that for an idea?
Come through so we can see what's going on. But, you know, we've talked to doctors, I'm sure you guys have as well, talking about the problem, the rampant abuse of painkillers that are taken to treat things. I mean, what the speculation is because of jumping off of stages and the wild stage acrobatics that Prince put on through the years, he was suffering physical ailments. He had hip surgery. Was in pain from these things, you know. And if you take something that relieves that pain, it's not so hard to start taking it to relieve the pain on a regular basis.
Right.
So if that's the case, if that's the scenario, how about we all just wait and find out what the toxicology results are before we all go crazy on this? And I just want to add one more thing.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to stage an intervention because I notice often you take Flintstones vitamins at an alarmingly frequent pace.
Well, the good news is you don't have to, because I was doing 75 Barneys a day and 2 Dinos and a Joe Rockhead.
I know. That's what.
And I'm just down to a Mr. Slate now. I take one Mr. Slate and I'm good.
Mr. Slater.
No, it's Slate. It's not Slater.
Is it Mr. Slater?
Yeah, it's Slate Rock and Gravel.
Are
Come on,
sure?
I'm the addict.
Okay.
Okay. All right, 2 movies out.
Slater, one of the ones in Saved by the Bell.
Yes. I think Slater's a completely different show and it's not animated.
Right. Maybe I need to be drug checked.
2 movies out this weekend. How bad is Mother's Day?
Mother's Day is pretty awful. As I've said in my review, haven't mothers suffered enough during child labor? Do they really have to go through this also? 5 different mom scenarios in this movie. None of them interesting. None of them funny. These the superstars that are in this movie, Julia Roberts and Jennifer Aniston, Clearly have mortgage payments to make, and is the only reason that they would appear in a movie like this. Dean's List D on this one, really disappointing. The Key and Peele movie...
this looks so weird.
It does. The trailers are much weirder than the movie actually is. It still winds up being one of these movies like so many SNL characters have done. You know, what would have been a really great four-minute sketch that they drag out into an hour and 40-minute movie. But in that, I mean, there are lots of problems. The movie's way longer than it needs to be. There are clearly a lot of improv bits that they let go longer than they should have. But there are moments of Key and Peele brilliance in this movie, that really intelligent, very understated kind of comedy that they do that saved the movie for me. I went in with really low expectations. I actually wound up laughing a lot more than I thought I would. So B-minus on this. Don't expect it to be the Key and Peele TV show. But it's okay. It's not great. It's good.
All right. And you're on the radio Sunday.
Talking with the legendary Carol Burnett. She's coming to Chicago about the middle of May. She's got three dates at the Chicago Theater. And
you're taking your mom, right? Carol Burnett?
We'll see. We'll see.
Well, Andrea's taking her mom.
Yeah, I'm going to take my mom, too.
I can't do anything with my mom until I clear it with her agent now.
She's still with Steve Mandel?
Just out of control. Steve Mandel wants her to write a book. She just wants to do appearances. So
I ordered all my food for Sunday from your mom, Dean, so I'll be by later to pick that
up. I know she's been very busy with taking catering orders for people. She's her yogurt making is just through the roof. I don't know if her heating pad's going to hold out.
Such a long, twisted tale.
That's a phrase that pays for today, by
the way. Yes, it is. So. Enjoy your weekend.
See you too, guys.
Bye, right, Dean. Happy Easter.
And that's Greek Easter.
Yeah. Easter's on Sunday, yeah.
All right. Back with the big story next on 720 WGN.
Ryan Dempster.
There's
a 1-1 to
Freeman. Oh, he caught it. Right into the palm of Dempster's glove.
Ooh.
That is a little smile there from Dempster.
What would Harry say right now about this win?
Well, I got to tell you, there's a lot of champagne in here. I haven't seen this much champagne since my wedding. We had a party just like this. It was phenomenal. Go, Cubs!
That was outstanding.
8:43, Ryan Dempster standing by. You know, we do this every week. And every week you go, well, you know, look, we're Chicago baseball fans. We'd be lying if we didn't say maybe we're expecting the other shoe to drop at some point. But it feels pretty good so far. And Demp, since last week, another fine week, including an Arrieta performance yesterday. Even when we got pulled early with cold weather and stuff, he's 5-0.
Yeah, you know what, Matt? And what a great job yesterday. Everybody, this happens every year. Where you have guys and you wonder about their innings and ways to manage their innings. And what does everybody do? They panic in September and figure out a way to try and manage a guy or, you know, cut him back a little bit. Yesterday was the perfect time. It's cold out. Jake threw a lot of pitches the time before and has no hitter. You give him a little break. The team scores a bunch of runs. And, you know, just another great win for them yesterday. A pretty awesome ball game.
Hey, Dave Enid, jump in, man.
Well, you know, I go back to yesterday. One of the bright spots again, Ryan. David Ross. I mean, Montero goes on the DL, but Ross has played some anyway. Here's a guy in his final season who suddenly has developed, he's hit home runs before, but steps up in the second inning yesterday, hits another one.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Last year, I'm not shy about talking about what a huge supporter of David Ross I am, and
right.
it extends far beyond what he does at the plate or even behind the dish. It obviously has to do with what he can do in a locker room, but he's a very prideful guy, and he takes pride in going out there and giving a quality at bat, trying to fight off some tough pitches. You know, you saw him earlier in the year pushing a bunt for a sack bunt in Cincinnati, or, you know, getting a guy over, just those little things that matter, and they go unnoticed sometimes, and especially with him, everybody panics, oh, he was hitting 180 last year, how can we have him play? But you look at it last year or this year already, I think his ERA when he's catching the pitchers is like something around 1.75. It's incredible. And then for him to go there and do that, what he's doing with the bat already in the start of the season, now he puts himself into a into a plus player, both on the defensive side and on the offensive side. And it's just a great way for him to finish his career. And I hope he has a strong offensive season throughout the rest of the season.
How much concentration does it take? Because I don't think we talked about this. How much concentration does it take when you're throwing a no-hitter, but your team's up 16-0? I mean, first off, Arrieta may be the only guy on the planet that's ever been in that position. But when your team's up that big, isn't focus an issue?
You know what? It's an issue on the sense of what happens is when you're pitching and you get into these routines of coming in, and, you know, the inning lasts 15 to 20 minutes, sometimes 10 if it's a quick 1-2-3 inning, but it's about a 15-minute inning, right? So then all of a sudden it's 20, it's 25, and how do I make sure I'm staying loose without, you know, getting the proper rest I need? And for Jake, he had four at-bats, he was up, he was hitting a lot, and he's a guy that's not going to go up there and just put the bat on his shoulder and take three pitches. So you have a lot of working elements, and I think that just speaks volumes to Jake and his ability to maintain his focus, to stay in the zone. And he does that as good as anybody in baseball, because it is hard. When you have those long extended innings, it's harder to get it ramped back up right away when you go back out there. And he finds a way to get it done. He obviously is very determined to get it done, and the results speak for themselves.
There are so many ridiculous numbers that he's put up, whether it's the 24 straight quality starts. That ended yesterday, but came an inning short of that. But the scoreless streak at home, which ended yesterday, but 18 consecutive games the Cubs have won when Arrieta has started. Ryan, do guys just go out there when he's on the mound, when it's his day to pitch, they just go out there and say, okay, we got this one, before they even step out there?
Absolutely. That's a 100% true statement. Guys feel that. You feel that in your locker room, and what happens is when that is going on, he exudes that. He's always calm. A guy makes a boots a ball, he doesn't show him up. If he's in a big situation, he never panics, and it seeps to everyone on the team. And you walk to the field as a hitter, because you feel so confident as your team, you gain self-confidence so that when you go out there, you feel like you can get the job done at bat. Or if you're out in the field, as the ball's hit you, you're going to make the play. That everything's going to happen the right way. And it can happen the other way, too. When the pitcher's struggling a lot, you feel like, oh, man, you know, this is going to be a tough one today. Hopefully he can get through five. And it creates negative energy. And the positive energy that Jake brings to a field, because of the confidence that he breathes in his teammates, in the coaching staff, in the fans expect it. There's no negative energy in the park. Just expect to win. Is he going to win the next 18? Probably not. But the fact that they've gone out there and done what they've done with him on the mound is really incredible. This stretch that he's on, and could arguably be up there with anybody in the history of baseball, it's a lot of fun to watch, and he deserves every moment, because he's grinded through some really tough times early on in his career to figure out what works best for him and his stuff, and to have the success that he's having now is well deserved.
We'll come back with more of Demps in just a second, and even though he knows a lot more about his Cubbies than the White Sox, he knows everything about baseball, because that's his job, his passion. He didn't bring us back any souvenirs from Italy, but we're not bitter. More with Demps in just a second. Because, you know, as much of a streak as Arrieta's been on, you got John Danks on the other side of town when the White Sox are going as good as they are. But Danks, who's proven he can win at this level, can't find a win now.
Yeah, he's
really struggling. Yeah. So what's that like? We'll get more baseball from Ryan Dempster in just a second. You always talk about baseball players needing a slump buster. All right, make up your own jokes at home. But when a hitter gets in a slump, sometimes it helps to sit. Sometimes it helps to play more. Sometimes you need more time in the cage. What if you're a pitcher? What if you're a starting pitcher? You get one shot every 5 days. You have a bad outing. You got to wait almost a week to get a crack at redemption. And if you've lost six or seven in a row, that's got to be tough. Ryan Dempster is with us. Demps, you ever go through a streak like that?
I did, yeah. I went through a couple different times. One time in Florida, actually, after my first All-Star game, and I come on the All-Star break, and I didn't win a game for six, seven starts in a row. But that was miserable, man.
Right, and I do think, am I wrong about that? I do think it's tougher than hitters, because you don't get a chance tomorrow. You got to wait.
Absolutely, and the longer it goes, you know, it's funny. You start showing up to the field, guys don't talk to you as much, coaches look the other way when you're walking down the hall. You start to feel like you got a little bit of, like, you know, the plague or something. It's like people don't want anything to do with you, because you can't help the team get a win, and all you want to do is just do your job every fifth day, and it doesn't work out, whether you're pitching bad or you find a way to lose a game 2-1. And it's a grind to go through. You just got to keep your head up. Try something. Put your socks up. You know, try going with a different glove. You know, try pitching completely the opposite that you normally pitch. Go away from your game plan or your scouting report, something. Anything you can do to just try and change it up. Grow a mustache. I don't know. Just anything to change your luck, go for it.
How much does that usually come down to a mechanical thing versus a mental thing?
You know, a little bit of both. Sometimes it can be a mechanical thing. Sometimes it can be a mental thing. And you have to find a way. You know, sometimes you get in a situation where you're better off. I know last night, I looked at last night, you know, the bases loaded with the grand slam, right? And the Oreo game, Machado hit the grand slam. And you find a way to maybe – Tom Glavine was incredible about this. He'd much rather walk a run in and get to a fresh count on a new hitter than give in to a guy and have him hit that big pitch that puts the game out of reach. And I think sometimes when we're a starting pitcher, you know, I was guilty of that myself. A lot of times, or, you know, people would sit there and boo, and I'd be like, I'd much rather face the guy on deck with a fresh count than a 2-0 count with this guy hitting, because if I walk in one run, I only want to give up one, I don't want to give up four. So I think personally, when you're losing that many games in a row, it becomes a mental thing, because if it was a physical thing or it was a mechanical thing, you can fix that. A pitching coach is going to help you fix that. I think it becomes something ingrained in your brain, that negative energy that you got to, I don't know, go to a sweat lodge and pray to somebody to get it out of you.
Having said that, now the Sox are off to a great start as well, so I just wanted to point out the difference between where Jake is versus where Danks is right now, and hopefully Danks will get it back. Dave has a quick final baseball question, then the most important question of this phone call from Andrea.
Well, just also with the Sox, Chris Sale's been really good now since he joined the White Sox, and he's had four straight years double-digit wins, but he seems to be even at a different level this year, Ryan. Anything you've – I don't know how much you've watched him. Anything different you see with Sale so far?
No, I've always felt like he should be in the top three, if not winning it, the Cy Young every year. This guy is nasty. He's probably the most impressive pitcher I've watched from behind home plate. I remember going to Canerico's when they retired his number, and I sat there and watched Chris throw, and he is nasty, man. And he knows how to pitch. He changes speeds. He's got three-plus pitches, the fastball, the slider, the changeup's dirty. And I think that you're just really kind of see now that next, like, if there was a next level, he's taking it to that. He's getting the wins. He's not losing those games. He's not coming out with no decisions. He's getting his due for what he deserves. And I know the people out there that say wins and losses don't matter, but they do.
Of course they matter.
They matter. I'd much rather take the pitcher that's 16-7 with a 5 ERA versus the pitcher that's 5-16 with a 2.5. What's more important, winning the ball game? And he deserves those wins, and he's getting them. And I think just his ability to, he knows so many hitters around the league. You start, as you become a veteran, you start to know where those outs are on hitters and where I can pitch guys. You watch him mow through a powerful Toronto Blue Jays lineup. Now what he's doing, too, is he's setting the tone for the rest of the rotation. Quintana follows up him, and Rodon follows up him. It just slides into place where these guys all feed off of that and watch this guy go out there and pitch. And, yeah, he has electric stuff, but he doesn't just throw. He's a pitcher. And I asked Greg Maddux one time, he said, you know, what's harder, throwing the ball where you want or as hard as you want? And I said, well, where you want. I said, but I want to throw it as hard as I can where I want. And he didn't even miss a beat. He said, well, then you'll make the All-Star game or win the Cy Young. And that's exactly what Chris Sale's doing, plus wow. stuff and plus location.
Well, there you go.
All right, Demb, you're a man of the people. You walk amidst the crowd. I see you step outside that skybox at Wrigley. What's the best new food at Wrigley Field?
That's what I needed, a little sports journalism in here.
Oh, wow, man, the best new food. Holy cow. On a strict diet. After I see Arietta's body, I'm on the kale diet now, so I'm going to try and stick with that.
Mayor brought us kale.
It won't stop me from eating a big, huge hot dog. I can guarantee you that. I'll have one of those when I'm there. There's something about that. I'll have a better for you answer for you next week.
All right, cool. Some research, buddy. Appreciate it. Talk to you later.
Absolutely, guys. Great talking with you.
There's Ryan Dempster from your Chicago Cubs, the legend that he is.
And one by one, they're all jumping on.
Yeah. The mayor's kale shake starting to hit me, though. I'm kidding.
How much is that doggy in the window?
Oh, we got a cutie for you.
The one with the waggly tail. How much is that doggy in the window?
Time for the big pause spring adopt-a-thon.
dog is for sale.
And we have a special guest in studio, Andrew Tobin. But, you know, really, frankly, more important than Andrew is his furry friend. How are you, Andrew?
I'm good.
Nice to see you, and thanks for coming in. We love helping paws in your spring adopt-a-thon. That's not technically the name. What is the name?
It is our spring adopt-a-thon.
It is called the adopt-a-thon. Is going to crank up, is it later today or tomorrow?
It starts at 11 o'clock this morning.
This morning, as a matter of fact. This is an opportunity for you to finally stop procrastinating and go, yes, I want a new family member, but you can't have this one, I don't think. Mm-hmm. Somebody in this room is going to grab it.
I love this dog.
It's a beautiful dog.
She is.
All right, so tell us who you brought with you.
I brought Triss, and Triss is a four-month-old Shepherd Lab mix. She came to us from Oklahoma.
Dave, stand up and like get on one of these cameras so people watching at WGNRadio.com can actually see what a great face this little girl has. Triss, short for Beatrice. Is that right, Andrew?
Yes.
And 4 months old, how big?
She's about 15 pounds now, and guesses she'll probably get to be around 50.
Which is not huge.
Not huge. Medium-sized dog.
Where's the temperament come from? She's very nice.
It seems to be from her lab mix. She she's a Shepherd lab mix, which has kind of both ends of the spectrum as far as energy. But she's a sweet, cuddly, kissy dog.
And the adoption process is what?
The adopter needs to come to the adoption center in Lincoln Park or our North Shore Adoption Center. And they bring every member of their family. If they have another dog, they need to bring the second dog so we can do a dog-to-dog, make sure all the dogs get along, and a valid photo ID, proof that they are allowed to have dogs of the breed and size that they're adopting if they live in a rental unit or a condominium.
Okay.
And the adoption fees for dogs start at $200 plus a $100 training fee.
Right.
That's refundable. And for cats, it starts at $25.
And is there a socialization thing you look for folks who bring other dogs down?
Definitely. We want to make sure that the dogs interact properly, that they meet and greet each other properly.
What would be a sign for concern? If they're not sniffing each other's butts?
Yep, that's typically how dogs, they arc.
That's the handshake. That's the dog handshake.
Absolutely.
So, but if they stand off from each other and are kind of checking each other out, that's not so good.
That can be okay. Indifference is generally okay. We don't want to see growling, barking, lunging.
Right. But this dog has such a sweet disposition. I would assume she likes other dogs?
She does. She came with six siblings.
Oh, well,
and if you go to our adoption center in Lincoln Park and you see the six of them, the seven of them in the room, it's quite a scene.
Are they all this good looking?
They are.
How about that? Six of them.
Is it okay now? I mean, because a lot of city folks will be here. There's apartments and condos. It's okay if these dogs are in apartments as opposed to having a big yard in which to run?
Sure. As long as a dog gets outside, gets exercise, stimulation, both mental and physical, the dog is fine. You know, having a big dog in a small space is like having another person there, so that can be a challenge. But they do fine in smaller spaces.
And as far as how long the walk is and all that stuff, it's individual. It's individual. Depends on the day. Depends on you. Depends on the dog.
Absolutely. Some dogs are couch potatoes for their whole lives. Some want to run and play their whole lives.
You mentioned the training fee. That's because when you take the dog home, the dog has gone through a considerable amount of training, right?
This is a training fee to have the adopter take the dog to training.
Oh, I see.
Training is a great opportunity for the person to bond with their new pet.
But we were just talking about this. This dog is you know, prepped and ready.
She's very docile, but keep in mind she came from a rural area, so she's still kind of finding her way around the big city. And as she gains confidence, she will definitely become more outgoing and energetic as a pup.
Oh, she's so friendly. Oh, I might have to fight Dave for her.
Yeah.
We really
That's
like
a
her.
Great dog. That was a great dog.
I wouldn't fight
Is there an approximate number of pets you're going to be able to have find homes over the course of this 36 hours?
We generally find homes for about 125 animals, dogs, cats, puppies, kittens, during the 36 hours. And it starts at 11 o'clock this morning till 11 o'clock tomorrow night. Stop in, and we have lots of great, great animals that are deserving of a forever home.
And again, those two locations are?
Our Lincoln Park Adoption Center at 1997 North Clybourne and our Highland Park Adoption Center in the Petco in Highland Park.
Very nice. Very nice. That's a great dog.
Yeah.
Nice.
Really a great dog.
Great dog. And for people with more information on PAWS, just go to the website, I guess, right?
PawsChicago.org or call 773-935-PAWS.
Fantastic organization.
Yeah, and assuming you actually are able to take Tris with you away from us and out of the studio, she'll be at which location?
She will be in Lincoln Park.
Okay, so there you go.
She won't be in Lincoln Park for long.
It's great information.
No, she's beautiful.
It's a good dog. Thanks for the work you're doing.
Thank you, Steve, for having me.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Don't forget, it's cats, too, kids.
Absolutely.
Cats, too. It's 9:16. We'll come back and... we'll tell you a little bit about what is happening on the 15th at Zany's in Rosemont in a minute on 720 WGN. Still to come, Mark Sapelsa tells about a story he did last night on the 9 o'clock WGN News about sick airplane air. And Jared Payton's got some stuff to talk about in relation to the draft before 10 o'clock in the Bill and Wendy show. John DeCosta's here. John, you and I will be at Zany's in Rosemont on the 15th.
On the 15th of May, yes.
And, you know, I always wanted to either do Carson or Letterman. And I never had the opportunity, even though I was on the set and, you know, went through the process a couple of times. And you know, met Carson at least long enough to shake his hand and met Letterman a few times and stuff. I just never had the opportunity. So, you know, I would drop you guys like a bad habit if I could have had that life. You know that.
Yeah, of course you would.
But now I wouldn't give this show up for anything because this gives us an opportunity to do that. And we can do it without makeup each morning. Just a little Genucel and we're good to go. But still, I have that talk show urging. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That talk show urging. So I thought, well, what can we do? What can we do? How can that need be met? And the nice people at Zany's and Rosemont said, Steve, bring your cockamamie idea out here. We'll do it here.
That's right.
So we did one of these last summer.
Yeah, which went really well.
Steve Cochran, it's called Late Night to Me.
It's called... the Early Late Night Talk Show with Steve Cochran.
Is that the name you changed it to?
No, that's okay. You have never gotten a title right anyway, yeah, so that's true. Let's just go with that.
So we'll do it at 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock Sunday, May 15th.
Get your tickets how?
You can go to Zany's Rosemont box office. Call them directly at 847-813-0484 or go onto their website at zanysrosemont.com.
And we have some surprises we'll announce coming up. But the winner of Karaoke 2016.
Yeah.
Will be there performing a duet live with John on that night.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun.
John found that out about an hour ago.
About an hour ago I found that out. I'm so looking forward to it.
So that's going to be exciting.
It really is. And you don't want to tell them what the show is about?
Well, it's going to feel like a talk show. We'll have a band on stage.
Right.
The band will be Christopher, your son.
Yes.
You'll be the announcer.
No, I will be the host of the show.
Our
announcer is Tim Banker.
That's right.
Tim Banker
right.
will be our announcer, which we did last year.
And Tim does live commercials.
Yep.
Just like on the show.
Yep.
We'll have a really small desk.
Small desk.
And kind of an uncomfortable setup.
Yeah.
And I'll do a monologue. And then we'll sit down. We'll do the show. We have a couple of guests to announce. The only one I'm willing to announce right now is Ro and Anna.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ro and Anna. Now, you may be saying, well, why am I going to pay to come see you chuckleheads at Zany's in Rosemont? I can listen to Ro and Anna every afternoon.
Yeah.
Not like this you can.
No.
Not like this you can.
Are you going to embarrass
that? Anna, a mouth on her. Good God. Swearing like a sailor.
Oh, she? I didn't know that.
The language. Rose embarrassed.
Plus, I get to see them. They don't get to see them.
No, and I can tell you, Anna's really pretty, and Ro is, you know, tall.
Ro is hot.
You know what? As long as they're appearing together, maybe they should dress alike. Remember Donnie and Marie used to wear the matching, you know, the purple tux and the purple dress?
Well, I know you didn't mean to, but you gave up a secret. They are going to do a little bit country and a little bit rock and roll.
Yeah.
So that'll be that night. Yeah.
Rock and roll.
Yeah, rock and roll.
Am I that good? Wow.
No, they'll be there, so we'll ask them questions that they've never answered before. We'll play a game with them. There'll be stuff to give away to the crowd. There's nothing wrong with stand-up. We do that all year long. But this is a little more than stand-up. Steve Cochran... Late night, early night.
Early late night talk show with Steve Cochran. It's a lot of fun.
You're going to have stuff to give away to the crowd with Ro and Anna there?
Yeah, well, we won't let them touch it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, so that's the important thing. Now, in addition to that, I mentioned karaoke. We have kind of danced around this all spring.
Right.
We're ready to rock.
I think we are, yes.
Starting on Monday.
Right.
On Monday, we will take our first contestants for karaoke. Explain what karaoke is.
Karaoke, we did this last year.
And we did it long before James Corden on TV.
Yes, we did.
Years before.
Yes, yes. People will submit either phoning in or they'll use our social. Now, you explain the social media, Ann, because you had a better
idea. You can submit. You can submit by video. You know, you can be singing. And you got to be in your car.
Got to be in your car.
You got to be in your car. You can sing. And if your car's moving,
correct,
it's an automatic disqualification.
Right. Well, what if that brings up a question. What if somebody else is videotaping?
Well, you can tell. You can tell if somebody else is doing it.
Okay,
so if
good.
They're doing it,
okay,
we're not going to disqualify.
Yes.
Somebody
right.
else is shooting.
We don't want anybody to take a chance.
Now, if you're doing a selfie,
yes,
you're not going to be able to enter. And
right.
we'll be able to tell.
Yes.
But you can either submit a video of that. You can, very easy to record audio on your phone.
Right.
You can record audio. You can send that to stevecochranshow@wgnradio.com, or you can follow me on Twitter and post it there. At Cochran Show, and we will find it in either case. But you'll also have a chance to just call in and do it live from your car.
Right.
Again, we'll ask you to pull over.
Right.
But you can do it from your car starting on Monday.
On Monday, yeah. This went really well last year. We had a lot of fun with it. And our winner, good prizes.
We have fabulous prizes. Yeah. And I'll tell you more about this on Monday, but it includes a two-night hotel stay in the city and some cool electronics and other sort of prizes as well. But I don't want to get into that until we
actually do
the contest.
Good.
And finally, give me an update on your YouTube channel.
Oh, Today in Dakaus, or as you like to call it, another time that you can go on YouTube and visit Dakaus.
Yeah.
I think is your title.
Because titles are good with me.
I think we're up to 30 videos, the two that were put on this week.
30 videos?
30 videos,
You are epic.
I know. It's unbelievable.
You're the Stephen King of stupid on YouTube.
Oh, it's ridiculous. It is ridiculous. This week was Quick Change and Ella Vapor was the other one. So you can go to YouTube and we're making fun
videos.
Of the what?
See these videos.
See the videos, yeah.
Today and Dakaus.
Today and Dakaus.
How do you spell today?
T-O.
No, how do you spell Dakaus?
D-A. Cosse. I have to remind we have a theme song for that. I have to remind to pick that up.
So, yes,
you know that's okay.
Well,
but
next week we'll play it. So you can get that as well. All right. So all of that means all of you can enter, and we are good to go with the contest starting on Monday.
Starting Monday
at 9:27. Oh, you know what else I want to do before we go any further. There were some, because we haven't mentioned campaign 2016 today, because I try to stay away from it on Fridays.
This was my head spinning now.
But yesterday during campaign 2016 and the day before as well, Ted Cruz, his name came up in a couple of times. Remember when I talked to Senator Durbin about this? I said, what is it about this guy that drives you crazy? He goes, just think of the most annoying guy at work, multiply it by 10, and you got Ted. Okay, and now that you have a basic idea for it, what about his former boss, the Speaker of the House, John Boehner? He was doing a speech yesterday to a group, and he said this.
How about Ted Cruz? Lucifer in the flesh. I know. Getting along with almost everybody. But I have never worked with a more miserable son of a
Lucifer in the flesh, and I've never worked with a more miserable SOB than Ted Cruz. So it's probably just John Boehner, right? It's just John Boehner. Peter King, influential New York congressman, said this.
I fully agree with John Boehner, and maybe he gives Lucifer a bad name by comparing him to Ted Cruz. I agree with John Boehner on that.
Wow.
Happy? Meanwhile, Donald Trump was of course in the news again. He's touring Indiana with Coach Bobby Knight, a guy who he knows inside out, like the same way Ted Cruz knows basketball rings. He said, "Yeah, Bobby Knight, they seem to really like him there." Yeah, he's fairly popular in Indiana. Bobby Knight introduced Donald Trump in a convoluted introduction I can't even begin to explain to you, but then had a disturbing take on Donald Trump and what he might do if he's president.
I'll tell you who they said wasn't presidential. I don't even know what the hell presidential means, but they told him that he wasn't presidential. And that guy they told, all these people that wanted to say you're not presidential, that guy was Harry Truman. And Harry Truman, with what he did in dropping and having the guts to drop the bomb in 1944, saved billions of American lives. And that's what Harry Truman did, and he became one of the three great presidents of the United States. And here's a man who would do the same thing, because he's going to become one of the four great presidents of the United States.
I want you to understand something. Bobby Knight just said Donald Trump would drop the bomb. Are we in World War IV? Five? Six? I don't know. We're in the middle of a world war where you needed to take the most drastic action imaginable. Oh, and by the way, when we did that, nobody else had one. Nobody else could retaliate. But don't let that upset you, Coach Knight. Did Trump deny it? No, of course he didn't. He loved every second of it. There you go, your two Republican frontrunners. Never been more proud of the Republican Party. I want to thank again the Palmer House Hilton. There's your two-night stay. The Palmer House Hilton, a beautiful Palmer House Hilton in downtown Chicago. That's where the winner of karaoke will stay. Don't forget to be listening Monday when you get a chance to sing in your car and act a fool and maybe be a big winner here on the Steve Cochran Show. Now in the middle of show number 639 on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
There have been warnings, a number of warnings, not just by industry insiders, engineers, but also by medical doctors, others working outside the industry, trying to sound the alarm. And up till this point, Boeing isn't listening.
.944, this is what an idiot I am. And this is why I should never, ever, 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 ever do anything related to the mechanics of this show after, say, well, 10, really, after 10, after 10.
10 a.m.?
Actually, Sandberg, come out here. Let me just explain what I said. Mark Sapelsa will not be appearing on the show. Here's why he won't be appearing on the show.
Uh-huh.
Because last night, Sandberg and I talked a couple of times at night. And last night it was probably, what, 9:30, 9:45?
9:45.
9:45, I text her and go, I'm going to text Sam Sapelsa. We didn't connect yesterday, and I want to give him a plug for this story that he did at 9. I said, I'll text him, and then I'll send you his contact information. You guys can follow up.
Well, you said that at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
I also said it Wednesday. I said it Wednesday initially.
Yes.
Yeah, and I didn't send it to you Wednesday.
Right.
And I didn't send it to you yesterday.
2 o'clock in the afternoon yesterday, you didn't send it. I asked for it. No answer. 9:45 at night on Thursday, you said, did I ever send you Sapelsa's information? And I said, no. And you said, I'm delirious?
Yeah, I did say I'm delirious. But that was actually just referring.
Thursday, too.
Yeah, well, that would have been yesterday. Yeah, I told both of you guys. Yeah. So when I said I'm delirious, I meant that was the Prince song I was currently singing at my house. So what happened was the minute you responded to the text, I went to bed. I didn't do anything else with it. I literally said, I'll text him right now. And I don't know, something shiny must have appeared in front of me. And I didn't text him. So Mark Sapelsa, who would gladly be on the show now to talk about the story he did last night, of course, isn't going to be on the show because he didn't know he was booked.
He didn't get a text from you.
No, and I didn't. This is one of the
an idiot.
One of the things that Ross trained Mike and I in when we took over for him is he said, sometimes my dad likes to think he's producing the show. And you have to remind him that he's not, because his follow through with guests and things can fall off.
What?
Yeah. No.
So
would this be an example of that?
This would be probably a great example.
What did Ross tell you, Steve? How can I work for you
when I have to work with you? He said it's hard to work for you when I have to work with you.
Yeah.
Which is why he's no longer working here. Oh, no, wait. He left me, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Sorry, I want to apologize. But here's the rest of the stupid. So I get in the morning, and we have these things called rundowns or grids, the grid of the show. So I look at the lineup of the show. I go, well, look what we got here. This looks pretty good. Rahm Emanuel, old friend Rick Kogan, Lisa Madigan, Ryan Dempster. That's all good. Hey, Mark Sapelsa. Yeah, I remember last night when Sandberg and I talked about this. This is fantastic. This will be great because I love Mark. And I want to plug the thing. Plus, we can make fun of Mark because he actually sort of sided with Roe in the whole theft thing earlier this week. This is going to be a great segment.
Yeah.
And it would have been if I had actually done what I said I would have done and texted my friend Sapelsa.
Well, what's he doing now? He's probably
sleeping. He was up all night.
I called all the numbers, and I'm usually not one to put blame on anyone, but I did say in my voicemail to him that I left, I said, "Hi, Mark, this is Mary from the Steve Cochran Show. Steve said he set up a time with you today at 9:40, and so I'm calling you to try to track you down."
And Candace, his beautiful wife Candace, I mean, she's probably, you know, she's an exercise therapist. She's probably out teaching a class.
Yeah. She's great, yeah.
So, well, Mark's daughter's coming in to sing.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
I'm not involved in booking that, am I?
No, I've already booked it. Okay, it's been booked for about 7 weeks.
Good. And Jared Payton, we booked him, who's coming up next.
So that's
he
cool.
He will appear on the show. Yeah.
All right. You need any help putting together the rest of the show, or are you guys good?
No, I think we're good.
Okay.
All right, I think they're good for next week, too, so you can just kind of maybe stay
No, we'll just plan it out for a couple months.
All right, now, but let me tell you something. Credit to me for this, as I pat myself on the back. One of the people upstairs we like very much, Sarah, who's a big part of our promotion side of this business, she requested a specific document that would tie up all the legal ends for this karaoke contest next week because we have lawyers in the building who worry about stuff like this. Even though my policy is, who's going to say anything? And if they do, we'll just say we're sorry.
Right. Ask what for forgiveness. It's easier than permission.
Forgiveness is easier than permission. Yeah. So I scratched out a couple of notes. And I gave him to John because who looks more secretarial and administrative than John?
Yeah, he's
right?
Very secretarial.
No, doesn't John, fellow comedian John, doesn't John seem like a guy with all the loose ends buttoned up?
Yeah, right? Well, he was secretariat, so it makes sense that he's secretarial.
Well, nobody knew that until just now.
Oh, oops.
Anyway, I want to apologize to anybody who really likes Mark Sapelsa. So I'm looking forward to his appearance. He'll be on another show as long as I'm not involved in talking to him. In the meantime, I would recommend you watch Sapelsa at 4, 5, 9, and 10.
I have him on the phone right now.
Oh, this do you?
Yeah, I'm just talking to him.
Tell him I said hi.
Anyway, yeah, we're on the air. Don't worry about it. Yeah, go to sleep.
It's 9:50. Jared Payton coming up because I had nothing to do with it on 720 WGN. This is why I forgot to text Sapelsa. I was in my SpongeBob SquarePants footy pajamas dancing around. I was delirious. I'll get delirious whenever you need. Lose all self-control, baby, just be steep. I'll leave this up now. Kid of the Week coming up Tuesday again. And if you have some time this weekend, get us information on your Kid of the Week because some kid's going to win $5,000. $5,000 for Kid of the Year. It's all sponsored by Ray and Raymond Chevrolet. RayandRaymondDeals.com. You can go to WGNRadio.com/contest to submit your entry. All right, 9:54 now, and Jared Payton is standing by, so let's talk to Jared for a second. I'm an idiot, Jared. I really am. I'm an idiot.
Hey, Steve, what's going on, man? I could use that $5,000, man.
It to your foundation. You know, give it to your foundation. Your kid could be Kid of the Week. One of your kids.
One of my kids, my daughter's not moving a lot right now. She's drinking a lot of bottles, but a little bit over 2 weeks old, and she's already captivated my life and my heart. And everybody said, once you have a girl, it changes your life. It really has changed my life.
Let me tell you a conversation you're going to have with your son, because I assume Dave did, and I know I did, where because my son is 3.5 years younger than his sister. And he never did the you treat her differently than me, but I knew that I did. And at one point, I took him aside and I said, again, they're both great kids. I never had any problems with either one of them. But I took him aside, Jarrett, and I said, let me explain something to you. I know who you are. I was you. You're always going to have it a little tougher than she does. She's the daughter. I'm the father. You'll find out someday. And he was fine with it. And guess what? Now he has a daughter. Now you have a daughter.
It's funny you say that because that's how my dad was. My sister, you know, my sister was just in the beginning of high school when my dad passed. But I mean, she wasn't in the dating stage. But I can only imagine some of those young men if they had a chance to come over to my house and see my dad sit there at the front door.
Can you imagine coming over, Walter Payton, with that sense of humor? Can you imagine trying to date Walter Payton's daughter if Payton was there? Good God, man!
It would have been unbelievable. But I had it tougher, and so. You know, I think that's what kind of helps you grow as a person and as a man. And it helped me to understand to respect women and how my dad treated my mom. And and everybody else, and it's grown me to the man that I am right now.
Well, congratulations. God bless you on the new addition. Real quickly, you're sponsored by United Association Union of Plumbers, Fitters, Welders, and Service Technicians and ChevyDriveChicago.com. We're covering the draft all sorts of ways. I just wanted to get your take on what you thought of the Bears pick.
I was kind of taken back a little bit last night, just trying to really process it, because the Bears don't really kind of move up to get somebody who they like. And I think they really felt that the Giants were going to get Leonard Floyd, so they had to, you know, jump up and get him at 9 and trade with the Buccaneers. It's great that they had two fourth-round picks. They can give up one of those. He's going to be a project, they have to have a plan for him. I think he has something that you can't teach, which is speed. And in the game of football, trying to get to the quarterback, seeing Von Miller and the Broncos win the championship, that's what you need. He's going to have to get bigger and stronger and live in that weight room in the cafeteria. So if they can figure out a way to do that and keep that speed, he could be a guy on the outside that could really get to the quarterback. And just in this division, you got to get to Aaron Rodgers, because he's the star of the division and also of the league right now, in my opinion. So you got to beat the Packers. And if you can get to Aaron Rodgers, that's the best way. So hopefully he can come in and beat the big and Vic Fangio system.
At Peyton's Son is where you go on social media for Jared Payton. What's Bag the Bullies?
It's a bags tournament that we started 3 years ago, and it's a pretty cool put on by Wheaton Realty out in Naperville. And we're doing it at Players Indoor Facility in Naperville this Saturday. And it's going to be an unbelievable event. We have a lot of people coming out. Charles Peanut Tillman's going to be there trying to beat people in bags. And it's really for my foundation to give back to the Jared Payton Foundation, which are my anti-bullying campaign. So if more people want to sign up, we have some teams left. Go to bagthebullies.com and you can figure out how you can have a good time with me and Peanut.
And how come you didn't invite Dave Ennett and me?
You guys are always busy, you know?
Nuts.
So
why can't we invite Mike? Mike, listen, Mike Jacobson was your producer. Mike Jacobson took care of you. How come we didn't invite Mike?
I really like Mike. You know, I just told
him. What about Andrea? Andrea's sitting over here. She's really good at bags. She's not available. Jared, I didn't even have enough time to say Jared Payton. Jayton. Jared, here's the thing about me. You should invite me to everything, because the good news is I'll talk about it and I almost never show up.
You know what, Steve? I promise I'll do that. You know you're a mentor to me. I appreciate you.
There we go. You said that about Dave last time, too.
By the way, your mom looked great on the draft last night.
Uh-huh. Did you see her last night? I freaked out. She didn't even tell me she was going up with the commissioner, and I'm sitting there in the media center, and I'm like, there's my mom. I just freaked out. She's such a star. Gosh, it's awesome.
Beautiful lady.
Let me tell you. Before I get off here, I have to thank everybody in Chicago, because my mom said this a long time ago. When my dad passed away, she felt like she could go to any door in the city and somebody would open it up and let her in. And to see the ovation she got last night,
sweet,
and to see the love that my dad keeps getting, it's an honor to be from Chicago.
Well, you know, you're a good man, and keep up the fine work, and good luck with Bag the Bullies and Derek Payton, all the information there. Thank you, buddy.